latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. More charges for the man accused of holding three women captive for the better part of a decade. ABC's Aaron Katursky on Ariel Castro's Day in Court.
Mr. Castro.
Admonished by the judge to pay attention in court.
Can you open your eyes, please?
Ariel Castro pleaded not guilty to more than 500 counts of kidnapping and more than 400 counts of rape.
I understand that you're waiting the reading of the full indictment.
Earlier charges covered only part of this alleged crime. He also faces aggravated murder charges for the termination of a pregnancy. Castro is accused of holding three women captive for a decade after they accepted a ride from him. We thank supporters last week on YouTube but have otherwise appealed for privacy. Aaron Kittis, ABC News.
The
law requires a history of discrimination to notify the policy. The head of the Fed.
And those who are supposed to be free.
The unemployment is still high, and the
signs of
the law stronger and objective. A highly accommodative monetary policy remains appropriate for the foreseeable
future. The economy may be growing, but it is not growing.
There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 3 years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco use, $1 million in coverage, $75 a month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 in coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 a month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 or above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for 1-800-569-5440 or visit our website. Remember, 1-800-569-5440.
Oh,
Yes, and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios, in a world where everything seems the same, Ford Fusion stands out. Get to your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer today and find attractive lease offers on several new vehicles.
Get the stinky dog away from me.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Chew himself raw.
Sticky, gooey, smelly.
She scratched incessantly.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
Right. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil.
The seaweed, the kelp,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
His gas was better.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
She has gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com. Ivy Woods Manor, experts in the care and rehabilitation of patients with dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hope you're having a good day today. I'm in studio at 6. You know, today is hump day. Today's Wednesday. And it is the 17th of July, 2013. And it's hot outside. Let me find out, because my phone is really nuts. My phone keeps on telling me that, you know, it's like 78 degrees. I don't know where they are. But they can't be where I am, because it is not in any way 78 degrees. 90 maybe.
Yeah, I'd go with 90.
But yesterday it was telling me it was 78 degrees, and I was driving down the freeway and my tires were screaming because the road was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rained in the middle of nowhere, and then it stopped.
I was so glad to see it rain.
How long did it rain where you were?
Half an hour.
We didn't get in Columbus. We didn't get 10 minutes on the road. I didn't get enough to make a puddle.
But knocked the humidity down. Was nice.
A little bit in some places, but not enough. Not enough. But today it's just muggy. It's just humid. It's muggy. It's hot. I can't believe you're out like working. I mean, outside. In the heat. Don't they say you're not supposed to work outside in heat like this?
You don't have much choice. My helper, that's the only week he could get to help me.
Yeah, but what happens when you all pass out from the heat stroke?
They make lots of water. We got lots of water.
I bet you weren't supposed to work out in hot heat like this.
Maybe I don't know. Ask all those roofers and all those...
They don't go on the roof.
Yes, they do. Oh,
no,
yes,
not
they
in
did.
The daytime.
Yes, they did.
In the evening, don't
no.
they?
No. I worked commercial roofing when I first got out of the Navy. I worked straight through this stuff. So was the asphalt guys. Look at the asphalt guys.
They don't work in the...
I saw guys working asphalt on the way in here.
That's too hot. But maybe they're working with cold mix and not hot
no,
mix.
No, it's hot. It was steaming.
That's crazy.
You don't have much choice. I mean, that goes
yes,
with the
do.
Job.
No. So why can't we play football in heat like this?
Because it's the wussification of America. I guarantee you today, all over northeastern Ohio, there's hundreds of farmers out there baling hay.
No.
And picking up bales and unloading bales.
It's too hot.
It's the way you do it. It's a wussification of America.
Not a
I never saw a steel mill one close down because it was too hot.
Never.
I've seen them close down because it was too cold, and that's only because the equipment was freezing up.
No. Never.
But too hot? No.
Hey, listen, we got some Tea Party people coming on today, and that ought to be interesting. And hear their take on what's going on right now politically. Before we go too far, I got to talk about Rolling Stone magazine. They are getting raked over the coal for, let me make sure I have this right so that I don't misspeak, because I had it up. That's what I get for clicking stuff around. The Boston bomber is on the front page, and they said that they got blasted for treating him like a rock star. Because he's accused of the Boston bomb, because they put him on the front page of Rolling Stone.
I saw that this morning.
And this is the problem that I have. That's why I'm back to my David Bowie and my Nine Inch Nails and my Afraid of Americans. America is supposed to be a place of free speech, if I'm not mistaken. And if I don't like what you say, I can turn you off. I mean, Migraine, who comes in the chat room, he's been getting on me because he's been getting on my nerves.
Yep.
And so I've just been kicking him out.
Yeah.
I have the right to do so.
Yep.
He has the right to come back. It works like that. That's what makes America great.
At least you don't scream. I mean, you know, there's a couple other radio hosts that will scream in the mic, get off my phone, you big dope. I've never seen you do that.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. That's my personality. But I'm watching this, and in a country where you're supposed to be able to speak as you choose, I've watched Oprah have to apologize. Because she was tweeting about a television program when the verdict came out, not realizing the verdict came out. So she had to publicly apologize to people because they were upset because at a time like this, she was tweeting about a TV program and not about Trayvon Martin.
So
well,
what's your
not
point?
Everybody was watching CNN.
Well, but by the same token, what does it matter what she's tweeting when she tweets it? She's a free person.
That's what I'm saying.
What's your point?
They felt as though it was insensitive for her to be tweeting about TV programs that was so trivial when we had the verdict of the Zimmerman trial came in.
Well, that's the problem with hate crime law. Because hate crime law is thought crime.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
No.
Hate crime is thought crime.
No, Sticks, it's not thought crime. Hate crime, you've never been hung. And you've
but
never
hanging
been,
someone is a crime already. Why do we have to make different,
because
different
of,
degrees?
Because of what incited you to hang. You have to.
Aren't all murders hate crime?
No, not necessarily. Some are crimes of passion. No. you've got to realize the severity of taunting people just because of who they are or who they choose to be. And I've had this conversation. Somebody said something about the 1923 riots. Why would you call it a riot? They burned down the dad blasted entire community. What would you call it? And it wasn't because they were shopping there. They killed 300 people because they didn't want people to be in business. Hate crimes, until you actually feel the insensitivity of being demeaned because of what you look like.
Okay.
That is a, I mean, and so and there is absolutely, and we're not talking, it'd be different if it was just one person that didn't like your blue eyes. But hate crimes are, you are a bigot based upon something that I cannot change at all.
So these black people that are now attacking white people over this Trayvon, is that a hate crime too?
Yes, it is.
But do you think they'll be charged with a hate crime?
I don't know. I would think so if they get charged. I don't think there are a lot of.
That's my problem with hate crime. Hate crime as we do it in this country is normally only one-sided. There's only one person, and even the Attorney General has said that a black person cannot have a hate crime against a white person because black people don't have any power. He has made that statement.
I can't speak to Eric Holder, but what I will say is there are not many black people who are going out and beating up white people because they're white.
And they're anymore.
And anymore.
No. In the past 20 years, there aren't many white people that are going out beating up black people.
That's not true. See, what I'm trying to say is hatred and bigotry is still very, and it's more, black people are afraid of white people.
And white people, to a large extent, are afraid of black people.
But the reason why they're afraid of black people is because you were told to be afraid.
And you were told to be afraid of us.
No, we had to be afraid of you. You would get us killed. Are you understanding that?
No, I'm not.
I can walk down the street with you.
In certain parts of the country.
No, in Ohio. And get beaten up because I was with you. You have no idea.
You're right, I don't.
Men who are in prison for rape, not because they raped the girl, but because when her father found out she was with a black man, she said she was raped.
You don't. And there are white men that...
No, Sticks.
Yes.
White men can just take a black woman to do what he chooses, and if he gets caught, too bad. But they would kill a black man. Do you realize there are young men who will not look you square in the eye today as a black person because they were raised never look a white man in the face?
No, I have no idea.
Do you realize that if you were walking down the sidewalk in 1950, that I had to come off the sidewalk so you could pass?
Yes, I knew that.
These are real.
But that was 1950. This is 2013.
But it's not changed because you can get pulled over still by driving while black. In your own car, in your own neighborhood.
And you can get pulled over for driving while redneck, too.
Sticks, it's not the same. They didn't hang you. They didn't drag you out of your bed, in your house, and hang you in front of your kids. It's been less than 30 or 40 years that they've done this. I told you not too long ago, I was called a coon and a nigger by a prominent businessman in the city.
I know that.
How do you
should
think?
Somebody should have cleaned his clock for him.
Cleaned his clock how? For me to go to jail?
Not for you. No, you shouldn't have.
So who was going to do it? Nobody.
Any self-respecting man.
And he did it openly in a public place, and no one said anything to him about it.
Right. Any self-respecting man that was there should have put him in his place.
Again.
And they didn't.
And
they were wrong.
And guess what? They don't. How many jokes have you heard that you never spoke up about, even if you never told it?
You're true.
Come on. You have to understand this has been a conversation that nobody wants to have openly and publicly.
Oh, we need to have it.
But we don't. because people are afraid of it. Not everyone is a racist, but everyone has been privy to it because no one's done anything about it. And so now we've got this crazy case that we should not actually be talking about race in it.
Right.
Well, because the TV media wanted it to be about race, they made it about race, and now it is about race.
And I thought about this over the weekend, even before that juror came out. And what I think this boiled down to was a 17-year-old man with a chip on his shoulder.
No!
Came up against a 29-year-old cop wannabe who was tired of his neighborhood being burgled. And it wouldn't matter what color Trayvon Martin was.
That's not true.
The outcome would have been the same.
Six, you want me to tell you what it's about? He wasn't a man. He was a boy.
17 years old is a man.
He's a boy. Because your son right now at 17, if he had been following me down the street or following your daughter, you would have a problem with it. He was a 17-year-old boy. Now, he might have been a strong boy. He might have been a weak boy, no matter who it was. And he was in a neighborhood. And if he defended himself, the difference that made the equalizer here is that Mr. Zimmerman had a gun.
So now, I didn't follow this very closely.
So because he had a gun, you have to understand, he stalked the young man.
Confronted who first?
He actually had to confront him because he followed him.
No. Following someone is not a confrontation.
Do you know how close I had to be for me to be able to turn around and cold cock you? Especially if I'm following you for 20 minutes straight. You can't follow me in and out of alleys and in and out of places just because you want to.
I still think it's a case of a 17-year-old kid with a chip on his shoulder.
Why did he have to have a chip? I don't want anybody following me like that.
Tracy, my next-door neighbors, two 17-year-old boys, one of them could clean my clock anytime they want.
Do you want me to start following you for 20 minutes straight, no matter where you go in the middle of the night in the rain?
But it's not illegal.
It is illegal for you to stalk me like that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's brought out
the trial. It's called harassment. Excuse me, Tracy.
Yeah.
The word is harassment. He was being harassed. That is illegal. You cannot harass him. You following him in pursuit, that is illegal. He could have went to jail for that. If Trayvon Martin had got on the phone and said, I'm being harassed by this gentleman, he was supposed to go to jail. People kill me. The law, and then the thing is, people want things to be a certain way. The bottom line is, he was innocently walking home, and now he's dead. He didn't do anything wrong. I don't care if he sold dope. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was walking home, and now he's dead. And when I hear people with this callous attitude, man, I can understand why some people. This is the thing. I'm intelligent enough to know not to hurt sticks. But there are people that when they see this callous attitude about an innocent guy being dead, it evokes thoughts of without sanctuary, people dying, people being hung on trees.
We're going to be
upset.
If I'm tending my business, talking on the phone, walking down the street, and you harass me for 20 minutes straight, and then you have to also put into the alignment, if this had been a little white boy at 17 years old and a 29-year-old black man, we would not be looking at it this way.
I think we would be.
No, we wouldn't. Yeah, but you want me to tell you why? Because one of two things would have happened. One, the man would not have been charged, or two, I'm sorry, the man would have been, he would have been convicted, absolutely. Because remember, hold on. I got a guy in the chat room. He said, seems to me the black community is looking for a fight.
It's not looking for a fight. People, you know what kills me? When stuff happens and a guy gets screwed over, it's the law. A lot of times, white people do not understand that when black people get screwed over, well, it's the rules. That's the thing. You guys are leaning on the fact this is an innocent kid that is dead, and this guy walked free, and he sized him up because part of his sizing him up was that he was black. Let's just get away with this all the time. Who is they? Why did they talk about him being, I mean, come on, this is clear. People kill me trying to act like, well, it has nothing to do with that. It's just, no, you want to be objective when it benefits you. When it benefits you, you want to be objective. When it doesn't benefit you, you want to be,
here's
man.
Here's a problem you're going to run into, okay? When a person goes through your neighborhood, a suspicious-looking person is in your neighborhood
uh-huh.
and walking around your stuff, okay,
uh-huh.
where you
walk around your stuff. You mean walking down the street
and
walking down around my stuff.
Dude.
He was walking down the street.
If you live in a complex, okay,
uh-huh.
And you on neighborhood watch. Have you ever been on neighborhood watch? It's like walking a post, man. It's like walking a post. And if you're on neighborhood watch and you take that oath to do what the neighborhood watch people do, yeah, you have to be aggressive. I said this the other day. When you walk in certain parts of Brooklyn,
you have to harass people.
And you walk. No, we're not harassing.
You're still a citizen. You're not a cop.
No. Hold on a second. Hold on. Listen. Let me finish. When you walk into certain parts of Brooklyn that are areas that are where the Nation of Islam is, if you're not from that area, if they don't recognize who you are, then you're gonna get questioned.
But what is pressure asking you who you are?
But South Carolina, the problem is that he didn't question him. He didn't question.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't confront him. He didn't take. If he's 29, he's supposed to be the adult here and the authority here.
No, listen.
If I follow you, I have stopped people in my neighborhood and asked them, "Are you lost? Because one of these things don't look like the other. You don't belong here. Can I help you?" I didn't say it in a confrontational way.
So
I just said, "Can I help?"
So Zimmerman did the same, pretty much the same thing.
Why did Zimmerman call the police in the first place?
Why did he call the police? He called the police because he already thought he had a criminal. That's the problem. It's clear he thought the guy was a criminal. I'm not finna call the police because some guy walking down the street don't know who he is. I'm gonna call the police because I thought I done caught somebody that's breaking in people's houses, and here he is walking down the street with some Skittles in a thing of Arizona tea. Come on, man.
Don't get me wrong. This is not about the verdict. My problem with white America today is how they look at it and how they are not passionate and or can I say compassionate about how African Americans might feel. And see, some of the stuff that has been on my Facebook page has really set me off. Because it's been insensitive, because they don't care. How can you actually tell me that that was 30 years ago, when we still see people being harassed, being brutalized, and
disproportionately put in jail. But that has nothing to do with race.
Hold on, man. Listen. When you're talking about disproportionately being put in jail.
No, I don't want to
go out there. If you do the crime bag on it, you're going to do the crime.
I got a good one for that one, South Carolina. South Carolina, 80% of people use crystal meth in jail. They're focusing on weed because black people primarily are the ones that deal with it. Meth is running rampant. You don't see all these ads on TV about meth.
South Carolina, hold on, guys. All things being equal. Hold on. You can't tell me you get 6 months for one cocaine and 6 years for another and then tell me it's equal.
Now,
what's the problem, South Carolina?
If the law has been set up that way to stem what was going on in the black community, because there were some black folks involved in setting up that law to stop it.
But South Carolina, South Carolina. Let's look at the, and I don't want to go that far because I've got to make another call and I've got my lines are blowing up. But you have to understand that those black people are just as ignorant as the ones we talk about when we're not talking about racism and we're talking about politics. See, we have a problem here, and it's to the root of the problem.
But South Carolina, if
you've never been discriminated against, God bless you. If you've never been called a nigga, God bless you. If you've never been hurt, God bless you. If you've never had anybody come at you with a hate crime, praise God that it's never happened to you. But the majority of us out here, whether we be Republican and or Democrat, we need to take our head out of the clouds and be real with white people and let them know that they have hurt us over the years. And the reason why we can't get along with them today is that they're afraid of us because we're afraid of them, because we're afraid that they're going to hurt us again. So we don't trust them.
I disagree with that. I think it's more than that.
South Carolina, you don't have to agree with me. What I'm telling you is You have to be honest about what's really going on in America today. And taking your head out of the clouds talking about, well, this, no. If you put this on the other foot, we got a lot of black folks sitting around in jail for a couple of years for stuff that's less than this, and we got white folks talking about, well, black folks deserve it because they're looking for a fight. I'm tired of being caused to tell, I'm looking for a fight. All I want to do is be successful and achieve the American dream and be treated like a citizen and not like a second-class citizen and having to prove myself all the time because of the color of my skin.
This boy is dead, Tracy, and we deserve, this is deserved to happen because he was looking for a fight, I guess. He deserves to die and be dead. And Zimmerman deserves to be walking around, even though he shot him in the heart, even though he called the police. Without having even spoken to him, he called the police.
The verdict was correct. They didn't prove the case. That's the problem. The problem is
the prosecutor. I think the prosecutor secretly didn't want to win anyway. But we ain't going to go into that.
I got to pick up some other calls. But this, you got to understand that. That's just real. And we have to understand, and so you, the Green Dog, I know Zimmerman's not white, but anything that's lighter than a paper bag in America is white. Because we assimilate to light and never black.
I'm Tracy, come on now.
Hold on, South Carolina. Private caller, your mic is on.
Tracy, darling, I love you. And you are right on the money.
I know something wrong today.
Hi,
Mr. Cox.
Yes, darling. I love you, first of all, okay? And I may disagree with you at time to time, but I still love you. But them two characters, Alabama... And where's that other one from, Georgia?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. What planet have they been living on? They're saying that this here...
That was South Carolina. That's
okay.
South Carolina that said that, not Alabama.
Dude,
I'm saying the dude's
supposed to be locked up under the jail. That's what I'm saying.
This is not about him being locked up under the jail. What this is about is the lack of sensitivity from white folk. Who get upset because we're upset about something, and they don't understand that it brings back. But the reason why a white person can't call a black person a nigga is because
they ain't never been picked on. They ain't never been picked on like that.
They don't.
They ain't never went through that.
No, listen to what I'm saying, Alabama, so I can really get this out. They do not understand that a black person can call a black person a nigga and it'll be okay, but when a white person calls a black person one, it brings up all the hatred that they have ever felt from discrimination from the time that they were born.
But Tracy, that's not the white person's problem.
South Carolina, we're not
problem.
South Carolina.
Tracy. South Carolina, that white person benefits from what they have done. They are benefiting the system, the structure, the
Listen,
power
Alabama,
structure is set up.
Alabama,
they own all the factories. Hold on, let me talk. Hold on, I'm going to tell you. They own all the factories. They own all the businesses.
They do not
they
own
everything.
The
they own it. Man, look here, man. They own, if you ain't, you look. Man, where you get
cannot make that
from,
statement.
Dude.
They do not own
okay.
all the factories. That's a lot.
90% of them in America.
Do you?
I
do you
understand?
They
own the jobs, the businesses, the white destruction. Man,
listen, Alabama, you're right. But what I'm saying is, this is not about who benefited. This is about what I'm watching white folks bring up articles from 2010 about how somebody black beat up somebody white. And I'm saying this is not about who beat who up. This is about a lack of sensitivity. And Six just came in and said, I don't think hate crimes. Do you understand that if somebody beats somebody up because of they need to go after them? Absolutely. Crime is crime and a hate crime is a hate crime, and we need to do that. But we need to understand disproportionately how it sets us back as a race. Because they are playing racism to the hilt in our community. And white people are playing into it like a fiddle. And instead of sitting back and watching this play out and looking at and trying to find out why are they so upset? Because they don't know anything about black history, because they don't teach you black history, and all they tell you is white is always right. White is always pretty. White is always the best. And anything less than white is inferior to us. And they teach it, and you tell it, and we reap the repercussions of white always being right. In our own
come
minds,
on, say, man.
We can't even come out and say our ice water is cold because a white man's ice water is always colder. So if I tell you something and a white man comes back and tells you the same thing, black people will not follow the black man. They'll follow the white man because white is always right. Because we've been conditioned to believe that.
And that's my fault?
Yes, it's your fault.
Why is it my fault?
Because you're white. And you don't stand up and listen to what we have to say because people don't care about what black people say.
I'm listening.
But you got to hear it.
And I do care. And I don't mean to sound callous, Alabama, because this was a terrible tragedy. Don't get me wrong. Honestly, do not get me wrong. And don't think that I don't feel bad about this young man who lost his life.
But there's a but. And we're not looking for a but. We're not looking
for an
answer.
The problem is, this is not a car accident.
So I'm supposed to say that Zimmerman should have been put under the jail just because it'll make you feel good.
No, what you're supposed to say is don't let it happen again. So if you're on a block watch and you're carrying a gun, there should be a protocol that you have to address a person and identify yourself just like an officer would.
I agree.
But that's not
And another thing, I would rather you tell me how you feel and tell me the truth so I know who I'm talking to and who I'm dealing with.
If I'm inferior,
tell me to my face. Because I know my history. Hold on, let me talk. I know my history. I know who my people are and what they've done. See, most of us don't. A lot of us don't. But I ain't scared of none of them. So you can say what you want. I'd rather you tell me. Because we can go back and forth about that one.
But this is not the only black kid that has died by the hands of a white man, and he's been acquitted. But you have to understand, we look at Michael Vick, and Michael Vick was fighting dogs, and he did 2 years. You got to understand how we look at this.
No.
Like, you got to no.
Tracy.
No matter how right or how wrong it might have been. Wait a minute, because before you start validating stuff, you have to understand Casey Anthony killed her little baby.
Same state.
But did Michael Vick do 2 years because – now, hear me out. Did he do 2 years because he was a black man or because he was an NFL star? If he'd have been a black man fighting dogs
– No, he was a black NFL star. He's a black – Ben Roethlisberger raped 3 women, and he's still playing quarterback.
Do you really believe that white men are not fighting dogs?
I know they are, and they should all do 2 years.
And so let me ask you this. Why make an example out of us? I'm tired of it.
Was it because he was a football player or because he was black?
It was both.
Why has Ben Roethlisberger not went to jail? Ben Roethlisberger done raped 3 women, and he's still playing quarterback. Ain't nobody got nothing to say.
Has he been convicted? Has Ben Roethlisberger been convicted?
No. Hold on, Sucker. They don't even bring him up on charges. But I bet you this, you let a black man go out and do the same thing and watch him go down. Can anybody say Kobe Bryant?
Was he convicted?
No.
He had to sell. No, look, she went for civil. She had to sell in all types of. Man, get up. They found 3 types of sperm in the woman. Come on, man. Come on. That was a
hold
freak.
On.
She was
Listen,
a freak.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Mike, I think we have my guest who's coming on, and he's sitting in here listening to this. And I'm going to take a break in a minute. You want to chime into this conversation? Or do you want to wait for a minute?
Well, Tracy, I'm still on the line and would like to
go ahead, Mr. Cox.
Okay, are you aware that a black woman in the state of Florida, a mother of 2 kids,
mm-hmm.
got sent to prison? Firing a gun against
a warning
her,
shot.
Her, fired a gun up in the
20
air.
20 years. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
The woman had a master's degree, never been in no trouble, good job. But they
Same
sentenced
judge.
Her to 20 years.
Same
okay?
judge. Mm-hmm.
The judge and the prosecutor. Now, here's the thing
What's
I
that?
Would like our president to do. Give her a presidential pardon.
Don't bring Mr. Obama.
No, I'm not going to talk about our president. I know you're
Wasn't that
you're
lady
here.
Under some form of firearms disability? I think she was under a firearms disability. I think
listen,
that was the minimum sentence.
I don't care.
Hey,
if you come at me with your fist, what am I supposed to sit there and say, listen, I've been to jail, don't beat me up, I'm sorry?
The sad thing is if she'd have shot the attacker instead of putting out a warning shot, it'd probably been a whole different ball of wax.
Thanks, you're missing the point.
Let me finish.
20 years of my life
But
no.
What I'm saying is, unfortunately, I think if I read the story right, that was the
Sticks.
Standard sentence.
Sticks.
That's the standard sentence, folks.
Do you understand how that
That's
the
law.
The jury should
there
have
go.
Found her
That's
not
the law.
Guilty? Do you understand what we're talking
That's
about?
That's the law.
Do you understand,
yeah, white
understand
man's
what
law.
You're talking about?
Do you understand how the law is unfavorable for that's just not common sense?
Then the
you
juries need to do jury nullification, which we've been told you're not allowed to do.
At some point, we're going to have to face the fact that either the law is going to work in this country for black people, white people, and everybody else, or it's not. Because if the law does, or if a jury does not render a verdict that we like, then the law is no good for us.
I
but
understand
jury,
that, South Carolina, but I'm struggling to understand how this
jury,
guy could be walking down the street
the jury,
and he's dead and he's innocent. I just don't see that.
Alabama, you're going back to the jury case. You can't go back there because you have to understand when they went into the courtroom, it was a lost case when they walked in the door with a charge of murder, too. I said that when they indicted him.
And manslaughter.
No, manslaughter was a lesser included charge, but they did not fight for the manslaughter case. They fought for the murder too, and manslaughter was slid in there at a late date. You gotta
Even
understand.
Still.
You gotta understand. It was still a lost case walking in the door. They never proved it without a reasonable doubt. They didn't do. They did not do.
Well,
what
let me,
they
let me ask you this. Let me
but
ask
they
this.
Never
so
wanted it
this.
When they walked in.
But Trace, let me ask you this: if I go and go get a couple of beers, right? Let's say I go get drunk, barely drunk. But I'm drunk, right? Get in the car, kill somebody like Mookie Blaylock did in Atlanta. Mookie Blaylock facing—they finna put him in jail for he made an inadvertent mistake, just and probably less of a mistake technically than Zimmerman. Zimmerman was sober-minded and went into this full well knowing what he was gonna do. Went after this guy, chased him. It's not like Mookie Blaylock. Mookie Blaylock got drunk, made a mistake. Now he's facing time in jail. There is something
Alabama.
Wrong in our legal system when
Alabama,
both of these situations can happen,
you
and these guys walking around
Alabama,
free.
But you are on a. You guys are trying to talk about different cases. I'm talking about the insensitivity of the racists when it comes down to this. You ain't heard a
people.
From
more,
a,
more people going to
Alabama.
Get more people
hold,
going
let
to
me
be.
Finish.
I'm agreeing with
hold
you.
On, Alabama. You have. He was a Hispanic man. He was Latino and white.
And
do you
Jewish,
realize
yeah,
you ain't heard yeah. you ain't heard Jack from the Latino community with this on either side?
But well, he didn't really claim to that. He didn't really lay claim
Does
to
it
that.
Matter?
He,
Does it matter? You have not heard a peep from them.
His main concern is
hold
more,
on
when I see when I hear people
Alabama.
I see people taking pictures joking
Alabama.
About the way the boy died with Skittles in their hand. People like that, just like when I went to see that movie, Catch It, whatever it is, and they was upset about the movie because the character was black. And they would say, you know, I didn't feel that bad because she was black when she died. I didn't really care. That right there.
I don't know. We don't know what you're talking about.
When
hold
people
on.
Try to...
Mike, hold on, guys. Mike at 904. His name is just
you want
a
me
minute.
You back?
No, Mike McCarthy, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I've just been listening.
I know you have. I'm going to take a break. How long do we have you for?
Well, I was told an hour, but
can I
do whatever you want.
Listen, hold on just a second. Let me finish up this conversation. I'm going to take a break and bring you right back up, okay? And then we'll start talking about this, okay? You can if you'd like, or you can stay on the line if you'd like.
Okay.
You can call me back at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. 409, your mic is on. Hold on, Mr. Cox.
Okay. All right. Wow. It sounds to me today, now, it was funny, I called in Monday, and I explained to you guys, you know, what my experience was over my life as far as being picked on, and your guest basically called me a liar. He said that didn't happen, and he started questioning about where I grew up and how I grew up and all this stuff, and I thought that was interesting. And I was just simply sharing my experience of being bullied by young black men my whole life, and he basically said, I don't believe you. But it sounds today like a lot of what you're saying is that the justice system doesn't work, the courts are set up to be against black people, and that just the law in general isn't good. But yet, it seems to me that when something like this happens,
and I'm just speaking in generalities. I'm not speaking specifically personal right now. This is kind of just general from white people. When something like this happens, your way of changing things is to just get mad. And I understand
getting upset.
Getting upset is one thing, but why should I fear getting jumped walking down the street because the system is messed up, because the law doesn't work? Why should I personally fear for my physical well-being walking down the road because the court system isn't set up correctly? Hold on, Alabama, stop.
No, wait a minute, listen. Listen to this. You don't have to live in fear. You got to understand, we've got a third element here who is playing on the fears of people and trying to cause a conflict and a division and a race riot. And that's our media system and our political system. You understand that, right?
Yes, that has a lot to do with it. Yes, I understand.
Okay. So as long as you understand that, because our media system is itching for a race fight across this nation. For whatever cause, I don't know. For whatever reason, I do not understand.
But Tracy,
but
I wanted
really,
to add.
Hold on,
it.
Alabama. But they're really itching for this. But
I
you
mean, Tracy,
also
I have
to.
I have two incidences. Just this was before the verdict came out. I have a friend that goes to Akron U. He was in the library one day. A group of young black men came in. They basically told him that they wanted his chair. He refused. They went to another young man, made him move. They sat there, acted up, being loud. The young man that was made to move tried to get the librarian to ask these young black men to be quiet. She was scared to talk to them, so she went to get campus security. They came in, asked them to be quiet. The young black man started cursing and getting obnoxious, knocked things over. They went outside, waited for the young man who told on them to come out. He had to be escorted out because they were waiting out there to beat him up. Another friend of mine goes to Cleveland State. He was punching in the keypad to get into his dorm. He was jumped by five black men. He was unconscious for 3 hours. They stole his phone. I hear stories like this all the time. I know that you guys
say
this is just...
Listen to what I'm saying. And they are hate crimes, and we need to deal with them accordingly. But you have to understand the root of the matter. Does that make sense? You got to understand the root of it. There is a root of this. In Alabama, I'm going to let you jump in, but there is a root here. And this root has dug deep.
He made a point. He came in and he said that he made a point, and the way he painted his picture was that if he's innocent and now he's going to get jumped on because of Trayvon Martin. I'm saying no. But if you're going to joke about and laugh about that family's misfortune, don't, you know, I see white people walking all the time. I'm not going to harm you, period. I don't care if you joke on it. I'm just going to think you're stupid. That's what I'm going to think. But if you're going to go out and joke and laugh and put bumper stickers up joking about it and saying stuff, then don't be surprised if certain people are ignorant. Just like if I'm walking in a neighborhood, a suburban neighborhood, I mean a rural neighborhood in Mississippi, Alabama, and I get hit because this did happen. And because of the government, local government is racist, they don't care about it. They're not even investigating who hit this guy. So it goes both ways. I mean, don't just think it's all the way. And that's all. And another thing, one more point. What was it? 80 years of lynching. Only two people got convicted for lynching. Two people. So, I mean, when you want to talk about that, we got some ways to go before we even get close to even catching up to the numbers of us that have been killed and strung up the trees and done just did wrong for all types of stuff. So, I mean, just want to sit and say just because some guys are walking around, those guys you just talked about in that analogy are stupid criminals, need to be locked up in jail. Period.
I just
got a question, one quick question. How many years and how many generations of white folks are going to have to pay for the sins of their great great grandfathers?
Let me get this straight with you now. I'm not asking for anybody in this generation to put up with nonsense. That's not what this is about. But the racial insensitivity, because you in South Carolina, you need to be honest about this. The liberal media is doing this for a reason.
Oh, I know that.
But the insensitivity of white folks in this
what
case.
Insensitivity, Tracy? That's what I'm trying
South
to
Carolina,
see.
South Carolina, South Carolina, have you gone on my Facebook page?
Yeah.
Why don't you go there now?
Okay.
And start looking at the postings on my page. And some of the questions and some of the information that's out there and what they're asking me. We have to understand this is a deep-rooted problem.
This is why Barack Obama wins elections, because
absolutely.
Those people on your page are while Barack Obama's in White House right now, because how stupid they are to go post dumb stuff like that, to not know how to know better. The game is chess, not checkers. They playing checkers, putting that stuff on your page.
I got some crazy stuff out there. And I'm going, are you serious?
In South Carolina, man, you made that point about how long. The thing is this. If a woman has been beat, raped, and battered, and we're dating, right? She's been beating her past. I've actually dated a girl that had been through some stuff. I had to treat her a certain way until she got to us. I couldn't just come out and do and say other things because she's sensitive about what's happened to her. Now, when you look at black people, and you look at our heritage in this country, you cannot have one of us killed on a large issue like this, and you joke and laugh and be insensitive about it and wonder why we're upset. Like, that's just stupid.
Tracy, Alabama keeps saying if we joke and laugh and get stupid about it. I would never joke and laugh about anybody dying. I don't
care
what the
situation,
what the age.
It's not you.
That's how he keeps portraying, though. Well, if you're going to be, laughing and joking and bumping fists, who in their right mind would do that about anybody dying?
Because right now I've got a guy in my chat room right here on Blog Talk, and this is what he wrote: blacks call me cracker, and I'm supposed to be have sensitivity for them. I've never called you a cracker or anything else. I got somebody in there named Lethal Migraine. He's as dumb as a box of rocks, and his comments are enough to incite a riot just for the heck of rioting. And if he does it to me, he does it to others. You got to understand. And I think I'm white folk tolerant. But you got to understand, there is a history here, and they don't have to pay for it. But the question is, when do I have to quit earning your respect, and when will I just be respected?
Chase.
Yeah.
You know,
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nobody is saying that they want as many people as many black as any white job.
Say that again.
Hello. Nobody's
yeah,
saying they want as many whites to die as many blacks to die. Like you said, all they want is people to be sensitive about what's going on when it happens to black people. And the caller who says that he was picked on in school, so what? Black people didn't pick on each other? When I was coming up in school, I seen white people get picked on, and I seen black people get picked on by the same people. So just because they was getting picked on, don't mean that they was getting picked on because they was white. They went to the school, and just you got ignorant people or bullies who want to pick on somebody, and they picked on black people just as much as they picked on the white ones. But we got a person down in Texas. Where a white person ran them over because they was black. I don't see black people going around running people over, killing white people because they white. And then in the sticks, that story you were talking about, the lady who shot the warning shot. I seen it 2 days in a row. And at one time did they ever say that she wasn't allowed to have a weapon? Nothing about disability.
No, I was mistaken. I just looked at. I just hold it. I just looked up the story. I was mistaken. What the problem was, the prosecutor said, was she left the house, then she went back into the house to retrieve her firearm. That was why she got the 20 years.
So she left the house, but she went back in for whatever reason.
She went back in to for the specific for the specific purpose of retrieving her firearm.
Why would
the kids were probably in the house too, right?
No.
According
to what I'm reading, which is CNN Justice, the reason she got 20 years was because she left the house to get in the car to leave, and she didn't have her keys with her, so she went back in the house to retrieve her firearm.
But if she didn't have
her keys. But she told him she went in to retrieve her firearm, not get her keys.
All right.
What I'm trying to figure out is these cases that are happening, the guy getting run over down in Texas, you know, or somebody else getting locked up somewhere. This is not something that's happening, you know, en masse. I mean, these seem like spotted incidents of what happened, and we're trying to label racism on individuals or for the stupidity of individuals on the whole entire race, and that's what happened.
Wait a minute, South Carolina, you said something here, and I want you to really understand what you said. We're not saying that all white people are racist, and I don't think you've ever heard me say that.
That's right.
I did not say that. I did not say that all black people are treating white people like they should. And I can believe when the guy called in from 409 and he said that people have been harassed and black kids have cussed you out, I believe that. And I don't think he was joking, and I don't think he was lying. I agree with it. What I'm saying is, if you don't have compassion on what people are feeling, when a young black kid, no matter if he was an innocent kid who became the victim, but they made him the assailant. Now, we know that you will never get this overturned in court. Okay, fine. And I don't agree with Al Sharpton going around doing rallies and all that kind of stuff. I think that I disagree with it. That's just me. But what I'm saying is the insensitivity that I get from white people, because black people kill white people and white people kill black people all the time, but black people kill black people all the time, and white people get killed by black people just because they're black all the time. It just happens all the time, and they play this like it happens every day. I promise you, every time a black person kills a white person, they're going down. You don't have to worry about them not getting justice.
Not true.
You show me some cases. Where?
Hold on again.
Okay, so some one guy. Listen, what you gonna bring up, OJ?
OJ, I told y'all it's Sunday. I gotta go. I gotta take a break. I'll be back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. When I come back, I'm gonna talk to Mike. We're gonna talk about Tea Party, and we're gonna take a break and woo off for a minute, and then we'll be back. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Wethersfield Police Department is looking for a man who may be impersonating a police officer. A driver told police she was on Salt Springs Road Monday morning when a white man in a light blue car with flashing lights pulled her over. He was wearing a dark blue uniform and told her their lights weren't working and she would get...
Hey, Mike, you there?
the mystery about why some men's mouths water when they see a beautiful woman. A new study suggests a man's salivary reaction to an attractive female is biologically hardwired. University of Chicago researchers found saliva production increased when men spoke to females, and the more attractive they were, the higher their saliva's testosterone level. The lead researcher says it wouldn't...
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Mike McCarthy.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Okay. I heard Tracy say to call back at the top of the hour, so here I am.
Yeah. She'll,
1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600. or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Let me calm down. I have a guest who's supposed to be on at 12:30, and it looks as though he has been pushed all over the place, and hopefully he'll come back and hang out with us again. Hi, Mike, how are you?
I am fine, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing good. You are out of where? You are with the Patriot Update, and you do an online blog. But tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I've been in business for many years, and I'm kind of semi-retired now. And a few years ago, I got concerned about the direction our country was going, and I decided to write a fiction book to kind of capture some of what was happening in our country today and hopefully entertain people as well as educate them along the way. And that's my book called The NOAA Option.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the NOAA Option.
Well, in the NOAA Option, we've got some black characters who are my hero and heroine. The primary character is a woman scientist by the name of Dr. Grace Washington. And as I like to say in my new teaser line, she's beautiful, she's brilliant, she's black, she's invented a way to feed the whole world, but why does the government want to stop her? So that kind of summarizes the key issue, the key conflict that's going on in the book. I had sent a copy of the book up. I don't know
six
if y'all had a chance
it.
To look at it or not.
It
sounds like
six
you've been
has it. Six has it. Six read it. I don't know.
I'm guilty.
Somebody sent the book here, and Sticks took the book, and he didn't bring the book back, and he didn't share the book with anyone else.
Okay,
yeah, I dropped
well,
the ball on this one, but it's a very interesting read. It's Atlas Shrugged Light, is what it is.
Okay.
Okay, who is this? Rick.
Sticks.
Okay.
Lloyd. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so this book takes my characters. So we've got two characters. Tracy, one thing when I first tuned in and heard you, I heard you make a comment that you said, "I just want to be successful and achieve the American dream," and this is what my character, Dr. Grace Washington, wants to do. She is a scientist. She is a botanist. She invents these new crop seeds that grow so fast and use less fertilizer and less water that she can feed the whole world if she can just get these seeds out. And in the plot of the book, you see there's some shadowy groups that want to stop her. And so in true crony capitalist fashion, they reach out to their friends in government to try to stop her from getting these seeds out, the farmers in the third world, where it'll do the most good.
Okay, and where can your book be found?
My book can be found on my website, thenoaoption.com. And it's available both as a paperback and as a Kindle version. And I'm working on the sequel to show what happens. The sequel is going to be called The Rainbow Option.
Okay.
And, of course, I take my imagery from the Bible where you have the story of Noah who builds an ark to protect his family from the flood. So using that metaphor, my characters talk about there's a rising flood of government rules and regulations that are choking off their ability to do business and raise their families and have a livelihood. And so metaphorically, they see that as a metaphorical flood. And so they try to find ways to protect themselves, like Noah built the ark.
Let me ask you this. We are in a, you know, our country is in a great sense of transition.
Yes.
And right now it's very, very volatile. And you don't see, and you see the separation of everything. And right now you see the media, instead of them paying attention to what's necessary and the Snowden case and the infringement of rights, the American people and the snooping of them and the secrecy and the Obamacare and the micromanaging and the different types of levels of overreach that the government is doing, and with you writing this type of book, how do you see it playing out in real life? Because right now I'm very, very concerned about what's happening now and what they are trying to achieve in this socialistic society that we are heading into.
Well, that's exactly why I was concerned and decided to write this book. So what I did is I just looked, paid attention to the same as you do, to the nightly news and the newspaper to see what's happening. And I took those trends that are happening, as you say, toward more and more socialism, more and more government control over our lives, and I just projected it out 7 or 8 or 9 years into the future, say, if this keeps happening, what will America look like? And so some of those things have already come true since the book got out. So, for example, I had a scene in the book about a Christian school that the government moved in on and said, you Christian schools can't teach your religion anymore. Even though you're a Christian school, we, the federal government, are the only ones who can decide what education is, so you're not allowed to do that anymore. And then, of course, we see this happening under the Affordable Care Act, where religious institutions, whether it's hospitals, whether it's other organizations, are told that they must violate their conscience to provide abortion coverage in their health insurance, even though they are providing excellent coverage otherwise. They're told, no, you've got to violate your conscience and do this. So that's one of the things that came true. Even I didn't imagine that was going to happen. So truth becomes stranger than fiction. In many ways, it's exceeded what I wrote about. And, of course, as you alluded to just now, the electronic spying on citizens. I had a scene in there where the Treasury Department had its own core of hackers hacking into everybody's business computers and looking, combing through their records and spying on them. And then, of course, we had what you alluded to with Snowden and the NSA listening in on all our conversations, potentially looking through our emails and so forth, so that we have no privacy.
Yeah, privacy is gone. And so, and I have a problem with, and I don't know how your book goes into this, but I have a problem when you take away your rights of the American electorate and give them to everyone else, and then everyone thinks that they're free.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people really think they're free. They think that things
yeah.
are going, you know, as they should, and not realizing that they really have gone into a very, very controlled environment, and most of the people are no longer have the American dream, nor are they free.
Yeah, exactly, and it's being chipped away little by little, and you don't. It's the old metaphor of the if you throw the frog into a pot of boiling water, he'll get scalded and jump out immediately. But if you put him in the cold water and just gradually heat it up, he might not notice till it's too late. And I'm afraid that's what our own government's been doing to us, is gradually turning up the temperature, and we don't notice it. We just say, yeah, it's getting a little warmer. Yeah, it's getting a few more controls, a few more regulations, that type of thing. And by the time we notice it, it might be too late.
Well, it's the unintended consequences of all this rules and regulations that people don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. I show a scene in my book where a gentleman who runs an auto repair shop. It's just small town America, small business America, and new rules and regulations come down where he's got to send all his people off for this specialized training somebody's cooked up, and it's so expensive that he's got to lay somebody off. And so instead of helping us grow the economy, grow jobs and so forth, and the prosperity and feed our families, it's hurting our ability to do that kind of thing. And of course, the crony capitalism, where all these companies go to for favors and advantages to the government to get the government to help them or protect them, or even using the government to crush their competition. So my other major character is a software genius by the name of Isaiah Mercury, and he is also African American, and he's got this great new product that allows buying and selling anywhere in the world from a cell phone. And the other software companies realize that he's got a great product and they're going to lose market share to him, so they go to their friends in government and the senators and say, let's put a special tax on just this one guy, on just his business, to to choke out his business so that we don't have to worry about him competing with us. So, again, the idea of the crony capitalism coming into play.
Yeah, we just saw an example of that last week with the anti-Walmart law in D.C.
Exactly.
Law, 'cause that,
where that law was designed specifically against Walmart. It wasn't against everybody in general, but just against Walmart as a big box retailer. And what's happening? They're pulling out. So there's all those jobs that people could have had that, hey, we're losing now. It's all, and they always say, oh, we're doing this for the little guy. We're doing this to help people out. And it's not. It's all about their control at the top.
Now this is where I think where I disagree with Walmart. I don't like how they did it, but I'm not a Walmart fan. I've watched Walmart squeeze most companies out of business in the name of competition.
The only reason is because you and I and other people choose to go to Walmart. Nobody put a gun to our head and makes us go there.
No, I don't go.
See, you and I disagree on this. I'm betting within 10 years Dollar General and Family Dollar surpass Walmart, and here's why. Because they have the buying power of a big conglomerate such as Walmart with the local store, and they will eventually overrun Walmart. That's the business cycle.
It might be the
business. And you forget, Tracy, too, that in the 1920s, Atlantic and Pacific, A&P,
mm-hmm.
had a bigger market share than Walmart has today.
But the reason I'm saying that is what's happened is Walmart has set up all the manufacturers' models to where you even may have to go to Walmart to even buy for Dollar General before distribution. You have to understand how Walmart has, because of the size of them, I've watched them do it. Classic Pickles, you know, Heinz, what they've done to manufacturing in the United States has been deplorable, and we don't discuss it. So that's why I'm against Walmart. I don't like them doing the prevailing wage in D.C. I thought that was kind of stupid. But I don't shop at Walmart. I watched them put the everyday competitor out of business, and it's destroying the fabric of America, just in my opinion. It's not Sam Walton's dream.
Well, again, we can disagree on this, but as long as there's free choice, you can choose to go to it or not go to it. I could choose to go to Dollar General or whatever. Then it's the marketplace, and the marketplace is determined by millions of people choosing to go to one store or the other. As long as the government will stay out of it, that will work out. And Tracy, for example, you've got a bully pulpit with a radio show. If you can convince enough people not to go to Walmart, well, then maybe they'll change their ways. Or, as we heard, maybe Dollar General will become bigger and better.
And you have to blame local politicians, too, in large part, too. Because they'll give a Walmart super center a tax abatement, and they won't give mom-and-pop grocery store down the street one.
Again.
Yeah, exactly. There's that sort of thing, too, on the theory
and
that this is economic development. We want to give them a break because they'll provide jobs. Well, I'm with you on that. I say, well, let's, instead of giving just the one a property tax reduction, let's do it for everybody, all the small mom-and-pop stores.
Yeah, it don't matter if you've been here for 100 years or you're coming in tomorrow morning. If you employ people, you should, and we're going to give one a tax abatement, we should give them all. All or none. It should be equal across the board.
So I think it's happening in small towns. So when the Walmart came in a small town where I live. Well, the guy who owned the little local Ace Hardware store, he knew he would be under pressure for pricing and so forth. But he said, look, they made me a better retailer. I had to work harder at this to serve my customers better.
Is he still open?
Yeah, he is still open. He's still doing well. And if I want to, you know, I want some hardware doohickey, and I'm not sure what it is, he's got people that understand hardware and can tell me this is the kind of paint you need, these are the kind of nuts and bolts you need, whereas people in Walmart don't know that. They can't tell me that. So I'm willing to go to his place and pay a little more because they can give me good advice about what I need.
Right.
So far they've been coexisting just fine, where his business is fine and Walmart is fine too.
Because a lot of times they don't last.
And you got to remember, like with the store that my daughter works at, that went out of business, partially because of the increase in the minimum wage in Ohio. They didn't set their own prices. Their suppliers set their prices.
Who does?
They were an IGA.
Okay.
And the supplier set their prices. They couldn't say, well, we're willing to operate at a lower profit margin, so we'll sell our macaroni and cheese at 10 cents less. They had to accept whatever price the IGA told them they had to sell it for.
Well, actually...
And IGA will give a larger, like a Henry Nemens,
yeah,
that type of person, they give them a better price point than they give the local guy.
But they give Walmart a much better price.
But IGA and Walmart are two separate entities.
But listen to what I'm saying. It goes by your volume. And so that's why when I say this, I know it from experience. If you buy a truck of macaroni and cheese, your truck will become a you will only pay a penny per box. Where if you buy half a truck, you'll pay 10 cents for the same box.
Right.
Well, I can sell it for almost what you can wholesale it for.
But do you know what the letters I
use? What's happening here in South Carolina, Tracy?
Independent Grocers Association. So therefore, a Henry Nemens, who has 16 stores, say, I don't know how many he has, should get the same price from the Independent Grocers Association because it is a co-op that the mom-and-pop store on the corner with one.
But I'm telling you, that's not how it works.
But they belong to a co-op.
I don't care what they belong to. I'm telling you, that's not how it works.
So why are you beating up on Walmart and not beating up on Henry Nemens?
Because they're putting Henry Nemens out of business. That's why.
Yeah,
it's only the consumer who
chooses to go in and buy from one store to another that puts something out of business.
But it also does in pricing. That's the issue. If I can get the same widget for a decrease in value, and I'm on a budget, you got to understand I'm going to go there. I got to go to Walmart. I'm one of those people that refuse to go. Yes, South Carolina.
What's happening here in South Carolina is the Dollar Generals and the Family Dollars and the Dollar Trees. They're competing against Walmart, but they're not putting up any huge stores. They're just beating them through saturation.
Small model.
The last Dollar General that was put up was basically put up in a residential neighborhood. I mean, you know, people can walk from their house to this Dollar General, whereas Walmart, you know, you got to get in your car and go out to where the strip mall is in order to get to them.
Same thing here. They put it in the middle of nowhere, and we're trying to figure out what are you doing. But they put the Arab stores out of business.
When was the last time you seen a new Walmart go up? But they're putting Dollar Generals everywhere.
Again.
Yeah, Dollar General is coming back because they are out Walmarting Walmart. So that's why I'm a big believer in capitalism. If you keep government out of it and let people compete on their own, the small guy like the Dollar General, he can compete effectively against a big guy like a Walmart. Does he find ways of doing it cheaper, better, easier? Like you said, they can walk to the store, all those kind of things that are going to attract the customer.
Do you think that it's going to work? Do you think capitalism in America is really going to continue to work?
That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about because the government is choking it down to the point where the government, whenever it imposes big rules and regulations, it's the big companies like the Walmart who can got the deep pockets where they can meet the rules and regulations. They can hire an army of lawyers to draw up all the documents and say, yeah, we're in conformance to this rule or that regulation, or we're organic, or we're this or we're that. Whereas the small mom-and-pop grocery, they can't afford that. You know, they're working 80-hour weeks just to keep their little grocery store going. So when government puts these rules out, it forms what the economists call a barrier to entry, and the little guy can't climb that barrier. It's too tall for him, whereas the big companies can climb it, which is exactly why the big companies love to have the government come in and put these rules and regulations in, because it gives them the unfair advantage. So that's what's wrong with crony capitalism.
Right, right. And one of the books I've read years ago, it uses the example of a small soda pop bottling manufacturer. And if they say you have to reconfigure your assembly line so that you can hire disabled people Pepsi-Cola just puts a half a penny on a can of pop, and it's no big deal. But if you're a local distributor, you got to put 50 cents on a bottle of pop, you're out of business.
Yeah, exactly, because you can't afford it. Because then, when push comes to shove, like Tracy's saying, you're saying, well, sometimes I do go to Walmart because I got to buy something. Well, if you're throwing a big party or your church was putting on a big event and you had to buy cases and cases of soda pop, if it was just you, you might say, oh, fine, I'll pay the nickel extra. But if you're buying, you know, 12 cases for a big event down at your church or something, well, then you're going to say, well, wait a minute. No, I need to save the money, so I'm going to go to Walmart to get it.
I quit going to Walmart years ago. It takes to get me to Walmart and get me into Target. It really takes like pulling teeth.
Did you use Sam's Club?
I have no choice because we don't have a Costco.
You know, the money all goes to the same warehouse.
I know, but I mean when I say Sam's Club,
we do have a Costco.
We don't have a Costco. If we had a Costco, Sam would never get my money.
Okay, well.
What about going to food
stores? You can that's drive over to the next town over and go to a Costco.
No. Costco, we don't.
I don't think there is any in Ohio, is there?
Yeah, there's one in Columbus, I think.
Okay.
It's 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference between economics and letting people make a choice based on their spending their dollar. It's not an all or nothing thing. You can go to the famous example the economist Milton Friedman used, to say we don't have to pass a law that says everybody has to wear green socks. If you want to wear green socks, you can go with take your dollar bill and go down and buy green socks. If I want to wear black socks, I can go down and buy a pair of black socks, and both of us are happy because we don't all have to be the same. But when it's a political decision to say, oh no, everybody has got to eat organic foods, or Mayor Bloomberg says nobody can have a 20-ounce soda, then political decisions are forced on everybody, whereas when it's left to the free market, you can choose to shop at Walmart or not. You can go to Costco or not. You can do just as you please because it's your own free choice.
I like the free choice. I just have a problem with the government supporting the choices that have been made and making you make these choices.
So do I.
Because the government... And this is where I think you and I totally agree. They make the regs and the regulations and the rules in favorable of the big boxes, and just same way with your telecommunications and your media companies. We wouldn't have the ignorance that we have today when it comes to responsible broadcasting if we did not allow conglomerates and monopolies. And at one time we would not allow them in broadcast, and now we do.
Yeah, exactly. So if we
it's the same thing with Walmart.
And of course, the fact that we're having this conversation today is a tribute to the emergence of small radio markets and blog talk radio, where now the little guy. I mean, I was looking at the blog talk radio. In theory, even I could go start a blog talk radio.
That's correct.
Program. I have no desire to. But technology has now enabled me to do that, and I don't have to buy a big station and build a giant tower 1,000 feet in the air to broadcast and buy all that expensive equipment and so forth, that the little guy can now compete in a lot of areas unless the government's going to come in and put a regulation on me and say, oh, no.
They're trying.
You know, you're sitting in your house with your computer talking on Blog Talk Radio. No, but that's unfair to the radio station down the street that's got to – build the tall tower and everything, so you've got to pay an extra fee on account of that to make it fair. Whenever somebody says, let's make it fair, I say beware of those who say make it fair, because they're about to slap a big rule or regulation or pick your pocket. I'm in favor of the level playing field and let the little guy come in, which they usually do. I mean, there was once upon a time when there was only one Walmart store in the country, and that was the one that Sam Walton started there in Bentonville, I forgot the name of the state. But anyway, he was the only one. He was the little guy, and he grew by offering everything cheaper and quicker and better. So somebody else will come along, whether it's the Dollar General or somebody else. And as long as the government doesn't get in the way to favor one over the other with these rules and regulations and special taxes and whatnot, then the little guy that has a better idea, they can rise to the top also.
Hopefully. That's the goal. Listen, Mike, I want to thank you. Give us the name of your book and your website again and where people can go and get it.
People can go get my book, The NOAA Option, at my website, thenoaaoption.com, and it's available as a paperback. It's also available as a Kindle book, and you can just click on the links on my website, thenoaaoption.com, and follow the adventures of my black heroine, Dr. Grace Washington, and Isaiah Mercury, as they try to run their businesses, but the government tries to stop them, and how they fight it out, and how they fight back with the strategy they come up with called the NOAA Option.
Now, I've got to ask you, and you just have to know me. Why did you make it a black heroine?
Well, it started out, they were just going to be supporting characters as I started writing this book. But I decided I wanted to have some black characters because it just, frankly, it pisses me off that the mainstream media always makes out that all blacks are liberal, all blacks are progressives and so forth, when I know that there's plenty of them who aren't. One of my personal heroes is the famous black economist, Dr. Thomas Sowell. And he has written so many books about the free market and free economy and appeared with his newspaper columns. As a matter of fact, I put him into the book under a different name as kind of a cameo. I just reversed the names. I called it Sowell Thomas instead of Thomas Sowell because I couldn't get a hold of him to get his permission. And out of respect for one of my intellectual heroes, I didn't want to do it without his permission. And then another thing that happened, Tracy, you'll sometimes hear authors say this, is that they'll start writing and they fall in love with their characters. I fell in love with my characters, and I just had to go with it. And even to the point where you say, well, a writer can make his character do anything in the world, I would get there and say, well, I want Grace and Isaiah to do so-and-so. And I'd stop and think about it and say, no, they'd never do that. It's like I didn't even have control over them anymore. It's like they were separate people who had to do their own thing, and it's almost like I couldn't make them do something that wouldn't be in character for them.
Well, you have to forgive Styx for not passing the book along to me, because he didn't give it to me for me to read. He took it home and read it, and I have no clue. I will have to pick it up and start reading it. Thank you so much. We're always here. And thank you for being patient with us today, and if I can help you with anything, please let us know.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on the show, Tracy.
You're welcome. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm going to take a break. You listen, Tracy and Friends, the number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
He wakes up, sniffs around.
Okay, admit it. You started to sing the song, and you may have downloaded the ringtone. But the real fun begins when you go to sweetjack.com and sign up. It's free, easy, and in seconds you can join the 2 million people who love Sweet Jack. The Sweet Jack team finds the hottest local deals exclusively for Sweet Jack members. Your favorite restaurants, shops, and salons all partner with Sweet Jack to bring you great experiences at great prices. Sign up today and get an extra 10% off.
SweetJack.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm Tracy Blinbush. Dix is in studio with me, and today is Wednesday, 38 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, here on WSOM AM 600, TracyAndFriends.com, 600WSOM.com, and iHeartRadio. I had this opportunity yesterday, Dix, to check us out on iHeart. It was pretty cool. I listened to, when I left here yesterday afternoon, I listened to the show going down 71. It was kind of like, this is good.
Good.
This is good. So you can always check us out on iHeart. I know sometimes you do have a bad connection with our terrestrial signal. And so if you do, you can always go to iHeart and then type in local stations and find 600. You'll find us there. It's nice and clear. You can listen to us on your phone, on your iPad, and on your computer through Facebook or through any or through just iHeart.com. We've got a guest. His name is Ken. And Ken, let me make sure I have this right, Ken Crow. And he has a website called www Tea Party Community. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hello, Tracy. I'm doing great. I'm out in the Socialist Soviet Republic of Illinois right now.
Oh, sorry.
I'm driving across Illinois. Yeah, well, I could use all the sympathy I can get. By the way, I've been listening to you for the last 30 minutes on iHeart, and you're right. It's great.
It is. It really, really is. Thank you for listening in. You have to listen in again. You missed the first part of the show.
It's I will.
Hot. It gets a little hot in here. It's almost as hot as the weather outside. How's that?
Well, I
tell us a little bit about you and how you became a part of the Tea Party, and a little bit, you know, we've segued out of the first hot topic and we've gone into the next. But tell me a little bit about the Tea Party and why you're involved and what is and I'm gonna probably drill you harder than any other because I'm politically involved and I want to know if you have a good education on how to make systemic change when it comes to government even though you're a Tea Party person.
Okay, well I'll take your slings and arrows, Tracy, and try to survive. Well, about 4.5-5 years ago, I, like so many others in America, was in business. And when the commercial banking industry crashed, that sort of killed the business that I was in. And I got angry, and I stomped around the house for about 6 months. My family said, no more, no more, go get involved. And it was just about the exact same time that our beloved brethren out at the Chicago Stock Exchange, Rick, said, we need to start a new Tea Party. We need to have a new revolution. And that's how it all came about, Tracy. It just grew from there. And I'm blessed and fortunate enough to have a couple of fabulous partners and mentors. I'm in partnership with a fellow by the name of Tim Saletti and his family, his beautiful wife, Michelle, and Tim Jr., and we started TeaPartyCommunity.com, and the reason we started that, I'd been involved with a few more Tea Parties along the way and decided the Tea Party is splintered. Now, while we have a voice, because there simply is so many, you're talking 20 to 25 million registered Tea Party members, but the voice as of right now is not unified. You have some groups that, for instance, give you a great example is the 2012 election. You had groups that were behind Newt Gingrich. You had groups that supported Rick Santorum and groups that supported Congresswoman Bachman, and on down the line it went. Well, all of these were splintered, and it splintered the conservative vote, and we all know what happened. And then
Go ahead.
Exactly. And then they wouldn't support the nominee. That was the next problem. Nobody would go to the poll and support the nominee. So Tim, my partner, is sort of a Thomas Edison in a lot of ways. He's a visionary. And he said, what we need to do is create a focal point for everybody to come to, sort of like Kevin Costner, build it and they will come. And they are coming, and they are coming in droves. What we did was build a it's actually like a Facebook on steroids. It does a lot more than Facebook, and it's set up for Tea Party groups. So, for instance, if you're Tea Party Orlando, you set up your Tea Party Orlando group in the state hub of Florida, and you can open a store, sell your T-shirts and ball caps and coffee mugs. But the main point is it's a gathering spot where information is being fed. So it's truly grassroots organizing. So let's take a hypothetical. Let's say the governor of Florida tomorrow wants to give new Hondas to all illegal aliens. Well, the Tea Party state hub director of the community, I'm going to call us TPC to keep it short, the TPC hub director for Florida will call in and say, we got a problem, guys. The governor wants to give. And at that moment in time, we're going to put messages out to everybody that belongs to the Tea Party community in Florida and say, okay, your hub director and the different Tea Party organization directors want to have a huge rally in Tallahassee at the state capitol next Monday. Be there. And everybody will show up and let the governor know this is a really bad idea.
Because this is my issue.
Sure.
There are two. And one was that the Tea Party allowed the media to portray them as a racist organization against Barack Obama. I have a big problem with that. And in the light of what's going on in the nation right now, you can see where this fury has continued.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to say that. And I've got somebody in my chat room now, and he's, like I said, the box of rocks in the chat room. Tea Party is racist. No, they're not. Secondly.
Well.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't believe we're racist. And to whoever's in the chat room saying that, please be aware that on Monday, we helped co-sponsor a major rally in Washington, D.C. to try to stop the immigration bill. And we were partnered with BALA, which is the Black American Leadership Alliance. And we were proud to do so. And Leah Durant has done an incredible job of trying to organize to stop this horrific immigration bill known as S-744. And we were there. I was there on Monday suffering in the heat with Colonel Alan West and Ted Cruz, Senator from Texas, and many, many others, up to and including, we even had people representing Egyptian heritage on stage speaking out against this bill. So, no.
Do you realize that wasn't shown on the TV?
Crazy.
They didn't tell us that.
I'm very aware of that.
Okay.
It was live streamed by Breitbart, and it was posted on the community, our Tea Party community, and Tea Party Tribune, and what have you, quite a few websites through Breitbart. But you're right. The mainstream media wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole because the Tea Party and the African-American community were in bed together on an issue, and it went against their narrative. It was that simple. They didn't want to touch it because it goes against what they preach. We've been everywhere. You have great Tea Party leaders like Katrina Pearson from Dallas. And if you've never interviewed her, by the way, you need to. She's fascinating. We have many, many African-American Tea Party leaders in this country right now. There are many of them. We're not racist.
Yes, we're
a melting pot.
But that's my first one. And then my second issue that I have is I'm a part of this executive committee here in the state of Ohio. And there we have Tea Party patriots, people in the state here, and they're very, very active. And they wanted to lead the local party, Republican Party, which is amenable. I think everyone should run. But they wanted to run with no knowledge base of how the actual function of the political system ran. In which, if you steer a ship too fast, it capsizes. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of our Tea Party people. I think they're well-intended, but they haven't learned the mechanics of the political system, and they really want to come in and just take a wrecking ball and just bang the crap out of everything, and you really can't do it that way, because if you do, you lose. And I don't. And my question to you is, have you guys figured out how to make the arms of this justice work, or are we just, you know, tearing stuff down without a plan and going to destroy it all, like you said about, you know, coming up with Mitt Romney?
Well, you're absolutely correct. And I'm going to agree with you, and I don't know if you thought I might or not, but I am. And this is something that I have stated for a couple of years now. Again, I'll give you an example. I went to the Tea Party groups in my home state of Iowa prior to the caucuses a couple of years ago. And I said, guys, we all need to unify and get behind one candidate, or going to splinter, and this is what's going to happen, which we now know the results. I was right. And I'm not saying this to pat me on the back. I'm validating what you're saying. They haven't yet learned to put political, they're starting. It is starting, and I can cover that in a minute, but they, up until now, they had yet to apply political practicality to their desires. The fury was there, the passion, the anger, the nobility. Everything is there to create another, you know, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson situation, but there was no Ben Franklin involved. They needed some political wisdom, and they're now starting to learn that. And they learned it through the, and we all are. Tea Party community, we actually have very, very savvy political gurus, if you will, if you want to use that word verbiage, but we have very savvy political people involved in the community that Tim and I do lean on and get advice from, and they know what they're doing. They've got political science degrees. They are in the Tea Party and have been active for several years. And you're starting to see that, and it's coming. It's coming. One of the big hindrances up till now is the different, and I don't want to open a can of worms here, but you have a lot of groups that are primarily focused on education. You have a lot of groups that are, and what will happen is these different groups will focus on one particular topic, and it's usually a social topic. And that doesn't work either. We're going to have to start balancing this a little bit, and everybody's beginning to recognize. It's been a learning curve, Tracy.
Okay, because I was, you know, I liked the guy who was running, and it was like, but, man, you have no clue what you're doing. And if you were to win, we would lose the whole state from now until next year. There's no way I can support you on this. And
right.
It was a big blowback. I mean, because you have to in politics, you have to actually weigh your fights. And you've got to fight the fight that you can win. And when I look at the Tea Party, even when I look at Colonel Allen West and what the Republican Party did to them and how they didn't know how to fight back, they had no idea on how to fight back through the realignment when they cut him out of his district.
Right. Flip that around now. Of course, you can't cut him out of a district because he's a U.S. senator. But look at the way Rand Paul is handling his political affairs now, and Ted Cruz. You know, these guys have virtually, in a span of very short span of time, virtually risen to the point of where they're almost politically untouchable. And Ted Cruz in the state of Texas, he'll be the first to admit he was put there by the Tea Party. That's how he won. He went up against the lieutenant governor, and I for the life of me can't remember his name at this moment in time. It's on the tip of my tongue, but lieutenant governor of Texas, who had an unlimited bankroll to win this seat. And the Tea Party propped Cruz, got behind Cruz, a no-name. He was virtually a no-name in the state of Texas until the Tea Party put him in the limelight and put him out front through his very patriotic, passionate speeches. They assembled behind him, and they took out the lieutenant governor and put him in office on a very limited budget, on a shoestring budget.
So what's the next big fight? Come on, Six, jump in.
The next big fight right now, we've got two of them. We're desperately trying to stop this immigration bill and stop Speaker Boehner from bringing this thing to the forefront in any shape, form, or fashion. That bill, if only 50% of that bill is adopted, we're in deep trouble. You were talking about Walmart a minute ago, and that bill is just horrific, Tracy. The other big fight is guns. Believe it or not, we're back mm-hmm. to guns again. And TeaPartyCommunity.com has sponsored a petition that we're now circulating, and we've got some star power involved, and Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live's involved, Chuck Woolery, the game show fellow, Richard Petty. There's a bunch of people involved. We got a bunch of star power, but we've got to stop Obama from getting gun legislation done and infringing our Second Amendment rights. So that's our next big battle, is we're going to try to put together 10 to 15 million signatures, deliver them to Capitol Hill, and tell the Democrat Party, you go put a leash on this guy, because if he tries to do executive orders or keeps pursuing this, you're all in political peril as well, because we've got the votes here to ensure you're in political peril. And that's what we're pushing now. It's called HandsOffOurGuns.com. And our acronym for it's HOGUE.
Let me, and I want to jump into the conversation. But I want to have a conversation with some people in reference to illegal gun ownership and distribution. Because, see, the problem that I find is we're allowing them to take this fight to the legality of guns and the legal owners, and not deal with the illegal guns that's causing the majority of the crimes in our country.
Well, the problem is, I see it. In Mexico, no one can own a firearm. You can't even have a toy gun legally. But yet there are 50,000 gun homicides a year there. And the problem with gun laws is criminals don't obey them. So what use is a gun law?
When I say this, and this is my issue, when you look at the violent crimes that happen in inner cities,
right?
When we look at the illegal gun trade, and we're talking about people who are not registered, we're talking about guns that are illegally fired,
obtained
and fired on the street.
Right.
The recourse is not there. And it caused, because see, right now they want to go after people who are legal gun owners and have this registration, and that's not where our problem is. Our problem is in illegal guns.
Has it occurred to you maybe that there is a political will to not enforce existing gun law, so in order to keep gun violence high, so in order to take guns from law-abiding citizens?
It doesn't matter. I want us to go after, if we go after illegal gun use and enforcement, then we won't have to worry about them looking at us for our own guns.
But the vice president himself says we're not going to go try to prosecute somebody who filled out a form wrong. You remember that quote, Ken?
I do. I also remember where he told ladies to take a 12-barrel shotgun out on the back deck and fire it in the air. The big problem here, guys, I'm tongue tied because I'm trying to figure out exactly how to phrase this the best. You remember our war on drugs? We had a war on drugs at the same time the CIA was capturing drugs and bringing them into America and selling them on our streets. Well,
I remember that
happening with guns. We have this plethora of cries from the White House, we need to do something about guns, but they're transporting them to the Mexican border and hanging them over to Hezbollah terrorists who are wiping out the drug lords and killing our citizens in America in the deserts of Arizona. And the ranchers are dying. The police officers are dying. And the guns are coming from the DOJ. So what do? You know, until they're actually willing to abide by what they say they want to do, there's nothing we can do. And bad guys, as your friend there said, bad guys are always going to get guns. Heroin's illegal, but yet we have movie stars dying of heroin every day. It's illegal to kill people with illegal guns, but we have bombers using pressure cookers to kill people. If people want to kill people, they will figure out a way to do it. So the guns is not the problem. It's the people that are the problem.
I agree. There's a problem with the soul of America.
Yes.
But it's government cost. And it's manufactured. I look at this Trayvon Martin case, and this thing was manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
It was manufactured by the media.
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation.
Yep. They even had to make up
Absolutely.
A special term for Mr. Zimmerman. White Hispanic.
Oh yeah,
they didn't make it up. That's been around for a while.
Yeah.
They just made it turn it into mainstream.
Does that make President Obama white black?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So absolutely. Absolutely. But you have to understand. But they created this when they sent Al Sharpton down to Sanford, Florida. To go after this case and take the TV cameras with them. They manufactured this. And they created and they altered the photos and they created this.
And they altered the audio tape.
They created the whole scenario. And in the creation of it, we all played as puppets inside of it.
Well, yes, we did. Because it's emotional.
Correct.
And when you can get a group of people, a large group of people, to put their reasoning aside and start operating on emotions, you can manipulate them to do anything you want.
Just like they went voted last year. Listen, Kim, can you hold on? I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy
Absolutely.
And Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Weathersfield Police Department is looking for a man who may be impersonating a police officer. A driver told police she was on Salt Springs Road Monday morning when a white man in a light blue car with flashing lights pulled her over. He was wearing a dark blue uniform and told her their lights weren't working and she would get a ticket in the mail. He followed her for a while, then eventually went in a different direction. A four-year-old boy is in the hospital after police say he was hit by a car on Youngstown's east side. It happened after 4 yesterday. Little boy ran behind the car backing out of the driveway. Police say it does appear to be an accident, but the driver of the car was arrested for a different, unrelated traffic violation. No word on the little boy's condition. And 7 new police officers have joined the Youngstown Police Department. Now the department has 152 officers, which, according to the chief, is the bare minimum it can operate with. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Evacuated from the Camp Ronald McDonald for good times, high winds and dry fuel continue to cause problems. Alex Stone, ABC News.
More charges for Ariel Castro, the Ohio man accused of holding 3 women captive for a decade.
I understand that you're waiving the reading of the full indictment, which actually contains 977 counts. But what I would like to do is place on the record a summary of the charges that are included in those 977 counts.
Castro pleaded not guilty. The Dow is up 22 points. This is ABC News.
Hey, folks, Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 7 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 7 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 7 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 7 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 7 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 7 years. That's 7 entire years till the year 2020. Today's super low initial rate on our amazing 7 mortgage is all the way down to 2.99%. APR 3.08%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com. The amazing 7 mortgage. One more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The governor of Rhode Island has vetoed a certain type of license plate. ABC's Steve Clanton with the story from Providence.
29 states offer license plates that proclaim choose life, but a bill to create the license plate in Rhode Island and devote half the proceeds to a faith-based group that opposes abortion has been vetoed by Governor Lincoln Chafee.
Well, you have to be very careful about organizations that use tax dollars that promote a specific religion. That's just unconstitutional.
Abortion rights supporters urged the veto, which was condemned by pro-life groups. Steve Klamkin, ABC News, Providence, Rhode Island.
Your local or state police department probably has a photograph, at least one, of your car in their files, even if you didn't do anything wrong. The ACLU says law enforcement agencies nationwide use scanners to amass millions of digital records at the location and movement of any vehicle. It wants departments to immediately delete records of cars that aren't linked to a crime. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Who are we at Buckeye Firearms?
We are active in our churches, schools, and communities. We raise our kids to know the words to the national anthem. We vote, and we pay taxes. We are former and current members of the military and law enforcement. We are avid hunters. We shoot competitively. You will find NRA lifetime membership cards in our wallet. Who are we at Buckeye Firearms? We are your friends, neighbors, and we support your Second Amendment rights. Visit us in Rogers, Austintown, and Streetsboro, and experience the Buckeye Advantage.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Copeland Oaks is celebrating a half century as the area's premier retirement community for active adults. To mark the 50th anniversary, Copeland Oaks is inviting you to a community picnic on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. The old-fashioned picnic will offer something for everyone. Twist and shout at the Sock Hop. Reminisce as you visit the classic car and bike display. Visit with friends at the Ice Cream Social. Enjoy a traditional hot dog roast. Kids will want to visit the bounce house and inflated obstacle course. So, grab the kids and neighbors and head for Copeland Oaks in nearby Sebring on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. This evening of fun and festivities is free for everyone. Copeland Oaks, an engaging and vibrant place to call home.
iHeartRadio plays your favorite station and over 1,500 more live local stations through your mobile device. So when you leave town, you can still hear the sounds and programming you love. And discover more, like music, sports, news. There's lots there, and iHeartRadio is always free. Just download the app for Android, iPhone, iPad, Windows Phone, and more. Find out what over 20 million registered users already know at iHeartRadio.com.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
The Druschel Financial Report on News Talk 600, Saturdays at 8:30. Bob Druschel discusses investment strategies for today's fast-moving financial markets. That's Saturdays at 8:30 on News Talk 600 WSOM.
His hair was falling out in clumps. PD stopped eating and all his hair fell out. Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly. There was hair all over. I heard a radio advertisement for Dynavite.
Dinovite .com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc. There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp, the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Within 2 weeks, the shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days, and Sundance's coat was starting to get shiny and glossy the way it had when she was a puppy.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, the phone number for Dynavite is 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM at 600, the number 347-945-5229, and it is nine minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock here on the 17th of July. It is hot and blistering. I think it's almost about 85 degrees, 88 degrees here in Mahoning Valley. Six is sitting over here looking at me like, what is she doing? She goes from one place to another during the break. And we've got a great guest.
Yes, we do.
And he is a Tea Party guy, and he has teapartycommunity.com. Six, where did you find this guy? What you doing? How did you dig this guy up? His name is Ken. Ken Crow.
I think his publicist sent me something, to be honest.
Ken, you got somebody working on your behalf to get you out there or what?
Actually, he's not only a publicist, and he's a great one. His name's Don Smith. He's actually got a radio show, too, called the Don Smith Radio Show. But he's also our communications director, TeaPartyCommunity.com's communication director. And he's a great guy, and he's a great patriot.
Ah.
And the best part is, Tracy, he knows everybody. That's good.
That's good. He knows what he's doing.
He's on a first-name basis with everybody.
That's good.
I watched him at the rally, and you know you got a great guy with people like Jeff Sessions and Alan West and great people like that walk up and go, "Hi, Don, how you doing today?" You know you're on the right track.
Usually that's a good sign.
Absolutely.
But then there's people like me, and people go, "What's up, Tracy?" And they're like, "I can't believe you know her."
Yeah, I feel your pain, Tracy.
when the Tea Party, it has sustainability, but now where is it going to head? How is it going to benefit us? Because when you look at Congress right now, when you look at, you know, I love Ted Cruz, but, you know, Ted Cruz is Ted Cruz, but if Ted Cruz doesn't have the backing of a group behind him and they are a savvy group, then Ted Cruz is just going to be there in a safe seat like we got safe seats here. How are we going to get these people to the forefront where people will start listening to them and the mainstream will start taking them seriously?
Wow, great question and a tough question at that. You're right when you said you were going to beat me up a little bit. Look, the only way the Tea Party will be sustainable is through organization. They're ultimately going to have to become organized and speak with one voice. No, I am not in favor of forming a third party. I'm not going to speak for the Tea Party Nation all over the country, but I myself think it's a ludicrous idea to try to form a third party.
I agree.
It takes billions of dollars and decades to do it, and you know, Ross Perot tried it, and we saw with that. He didn't even get off home plate to first base, let alone first base. But so that the way we're going to get done what we need to get done is we are going to have to organize. And somewhere along the way through that process, we're going to have to educate and change, or at least make an attempt to change, part of the hearts and minds of America and take them back to traditional value systems. You have children today, and I believe that a lot of that comes through education at the school system level, because you have children out there today that have no idea why the original Tea Party happened by Samuel Adams. You have children today that have no idea what caused Abraham Lincoln to abolish slavery. You have no, you know, our children aren't being taught, and what we're seeing today are the results of our beginning of the failing of our education system back in the late 60s up through the 70s and into the early 80s. Well, these people are all now in positions of power, and they don't seem to have the hearts of patriotism anymore. You have a lot of schools today that aren't even requiring children to a Pledge of Allegiance, let alone school prayer. That's long forgotten. So the morality and the core belief systems in what creates a strong country is not being taught now. And that's what we're going to have to turn around. And we do have, if you will, it's not formal yet, but it is in Tea Party Community's mission statement. It's there. But in the overall Tea Party as a whole, we're beginning to lay down, if you will, a platform system or a plank system of our core beliefs and as a group. And our goal is, and I say this as a goal, and I believe we can do it, but we would like to put together some type of convention system next year and get together and truly get this thing put together on a national level as one voice. And if we do all of the above, we can turn this thing around.
Well, Ken, I have a question. Can the libertarian slant conservatives take over the Republican Party the same way the communist slant socialists have taken over the Democrat Party?
Nope.
No, I agree with Tracy on it. No, I don't see that happening, because too many of their fundamental core belief systems are just too far out there. You got to remember that the bulk of the Tea Party as a whole, and I'm not espousing a particular religion here, but the fact is most of the Tea Party world are conservative Christians. Most of the members of the Tea Party world come from the old Christian coalition and what have you. And they stand too firmly behind Israel. They stand behind biblical principles. And let's face it, when you have libertarian leaders like Ron Paul saying, well, it's okay, Iran's got a right to have a nuke. No, I don't see that happening.
No.
I don't see it happening.
No.
Well, there's libertarian, then there's just plain crazy.
No. See, no.
Well,
it's not gonna happen.
I'm not going to go there about Congress.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
But it ain't.
No, we don't need to go to Ron Paul. No,
we're not going to legalize drugs. You know, we're too conservative in our moral fabric to go to. We'll go too far right. If you really want to see a successful...
But there are people that say legalizing drugs would be going too far left.
Thank you.
But the thing is, you want to have an unjust balance is an abomination.
I agree.
But a just balance is a great weight and a great delight. What needs to happen is America was constructed on balance, and now we've tipped the balance too far one way and the other, and we've got to come back to center.
What's going on with President Obama is most of our leaders, even if they were left or if they were right, when they govern from the center. President Obama is one of the, I believe, the, one of the first leaders who is governed completely from the left.
But let's go back to drugs. Up until 1913, 1914, drugs were legal in the United States.
The difference is they weren't distributed as quickly as they are right now. Bath salts are bad. Heroin is bad.
Right. But at that time you went to the drugstore and you bought them for your own consumption.
Correct. But what I'm saying is you did not have the consumption. You didn't have the usage. They were drinking Coca-Cola to cure a headache because it had cocaine in it and they didn't know it.
No, there was. I've seen ads from the teens and 20s. They told you were taking heroin.
But hear me, what I'm saying. It was not as widespread.
Oh yes, it was.
Not the same.
Extremely widespread.
Dick, why are you contrary? It's not the same as it is today. Your 13 year olds were not going to use heroin then. You had control over them. Now we can't get them to go to school and get an education, come home and clean their room and pull their pants up. That's seriously. We talk about prostitutes.
Right.
We've created a climate now where we can't even control our own household. We can't even stay married.
Right.
And you want to add, we have a hard enough time with alcohol and it's still controlled by state regulation. And if we take drugs and open that Pandora's box, God forbid where we'll be.
But the black incarceration rate would go away.
It wouldn't go away. That's a misnomer.
Well,
it wouldn't go away.
You think they'd just find another reason?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
because with the lack of education and lack of knowledge, you're always going to have a criminal element. And what we've done is we've criminalized our educational system, to which everything now is based upon information.
But I see, and Ken, I'd like you to comment on this. What I see happening is we've made everything a crime. Walking out the front door anymore is a crime.
You want to be able to park your car in the front yard and start a car lot and say it's okay.
It's none of your business what I do with my piece of real estate.
Like I said, that's where we differ. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Gomez.
Hey, Gomez.
Hello, Tracy?
Yes.
Yes, I'm a Hispanic Latino, and I think, I think the 40 years of liberalism has destroyed the blacks and the Hispanic culture. We've been brainwashed. We've allowed the Democrats and the moderate Republicans to push us around and bully us. Conservatives need to stand true and strong, and we need not compromise our principles.
I agree. Ken?
I'm in 100% agreement. As a matter of fact, I'll talk a little bit personally here for a minute. I had two nannies growing up in Texas, and they were both black nannies. Quincy and Otra Lee raised me. And I love these women. And they ran their homes with an iron fist. I mean, their husbands was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. The kids were yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And this was prior to Lyndon Baines Johnson's Great Society programs. You take a look to prove Gomez's point right. Take a look at our Native American nations. I was out, had a dear friend of mine that was a leader, one of the leaders of the Sioux Nation back in the 70s and 80s. And I was out at Pine Ridge, South Dakota one day with him. And we were riding around, and I said, why don't you bring in business here? Why don't you do, you know. He took me to an industrial park that had probably 14 or 15 very large prefab metal buildings. He said, that used to be a Dell computer. That used to be this. That used to be that. I said, what happened? He said, my people won't work because they get too many benefits from the government. They come in and they work for 2 weeks, get a paycheck, and don't show back up. And that's what's happened. It goes back to biblical principles. You teach a man to fish or you give him a fish. And that's what's going on in society today. The government has enslaved entire population segments you look at Detroit and look at, and that's a city that's been run by Democrats now for, what, 50 to 100 years. And look at it. The city is decaying. It's bankrupt. Los Angeles, the state of California. And it's been all due to government assistance programs for people to, for political bribery purposes. We're going to give you food stamps. We're going to give you a check. We're going to give you a cell phone. We're going to give you everything. Oh, by the way, you need internet. Not a problem. We'll take care of that. We're going to give you all this stuff, and in return, we want your vote. And sooner or later, as the old analogy goes, you run out of other people's money. And that's
but
what's
I have
happened. Or, go ahead.
Ian, you got, I got a question, because you sound like you're old enough that you can answer this from a viewpoint that maybe other people cannot. But is it not, when this is the problem that I have, when African-Americans were trying to go to work, back in the early 70s, especially African-American men, did they not block them out?
I believe you had some of that going on as residual side effects from the massive amount of racism that goes back to the, you know, that went all the way back to 1865. But I believe we're past that point now. The racism, and this is what infuriates me, and you addressed it a few minutes ago. You know, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon. The president should not be getting involved in these issues. He should not address it. He should only address things on a national scope, not an isolated incident in a small town in Florida. But he is, and he's using it to separate
his family.
He's using these instances to create race friction. And I don't believe that level of racism, Tracy, that you're addressing from the 70s is here anymore. I just don't see it.
No,
it's not.
I agree.
It's not there, so... At some point in time, we all have to take responsibility for ourselves and ourselves up.
The problem that I see, and this is my issue, the problem is, you're right, the racism of yesterday is not the racism of today. But the racism of yesterday has caused the problems of today. And it's not a Republican, and it's not a Republican thing. The Republicans, what they did was they completely ignored it because it wasn't their problem, so they stuck the heck with it. Democrats actually capitalized on it and made money, and they can use them as a source of power. But if you really look at it, if you take a man's father out of his home, the way that it has been done, and you cause this disrespect inside of this black community, and you actually go back to the old legend of the Willie Lynch story, it comes into where we have young men who've never had strong men to teach them how to pull their pants up, stand up straight, and go get a job.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And the other problem that you have, and I believe it's a huge problem, the first one, you're absolutely correct. We're suffering from a mentorship issue in some of these urban areas, like Detroit, for instance. But what do you do when you have a young man that can earn $25,000 a week selling crack cocaine and drive a new Lincoln Town Car, a new Cadillac or whatever, and wear a lot of gold jewelry? What do you say to him to get him to stop doing that and go down and get a $15 an hour job working at a tire plant?
I agree.
It's darn tough to do because that lifestyle is glamorized on MTV and on television and then music and everything else. And these children are getting killed for it. And it's a tragedy. It's a national tragedy. And it goes back to teaching. We must get back to the basics. And I hate to say this, but I don't mean to bring in, you know, and pound people over the head with a Bible. But I believe a lot of this has to do with biblical values that are being removed from society because there is a war on Christianity in this country. And these are Christian principles that built this nation. Hard work, nobility, integrity, honesty, sweat, you know, and you earn your food by the sweat of your brow. And these things have been removed for an easy, lackadaisical lifestyle that involves a whole lot of money. And that is being glamorized rather than work ethic.
I agree with that.
One more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Latino Hispanic. I believe that the white liberal has intentionally and systematically for the past 40 years have programmed and distorted and perverted the minds of Americans, whether they be black and Hispanics. And one last thing about the borders, 95% of the drugs, the heavy drugs, are coming through the Mexican border. As a conservative Latino, we need to close the border and quit making apologies about what is right and what is wrong. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Outstanding what Gomez said, and he's 100% correct. I have a lot of friends of mine in New Mexico, and I know a lot of New Mexican politicians down here and a lot of Hispanic politicians in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. And he is 100% correct. And the very fact, and this is something that, and I'm saying this, it's backhanded, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. When you have a president of the United States that attacks a governor for wanting to protect her borders, Governor Brewer knows what's going on down in Douglas, Arizona, Tucson, and out through Yuma and all that. She knows. She's known since she became governor, probably before that. And she wanted to shut the borders down. She goes to shut the borders down, and the president of the United States attacks her and threatens to sic the Department of Justice on the governor of the state of Arizona for wanting to protect her border. Now, I need to ask everybody, what is wrong with this picture? That it doesn't make sense to me. If you're a president, you swore an oath to the Constitution to protect America and protect her values and protect her Constitution. And you don't do that when you let the enemy walk across the border. And that's what's going on. And no, I'm not saying that the
enemy is
immigrants. I'm not saying it's the Hispanic immigrants or the enemy. I'm not saying that. But we know for a fact Al-Qaeda has walked across that border. And they are in America. And that's how they got here. And yet this president will not shut these borders down and he's allowing Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda terrorists to walk into America to do God only knows what. And we can't find them. And they're here, and we don't know who they are. And they're here to hurt us. And yet he sues this lady, or threatens to a lady that's trying to protect us. Something isn't adding up, Tracy. Something's not right here. And the Tea Party world knows this. And they talk about it every day on our website. They post
give your website
about
again.
It. It's teapartycommunity.com. And you'll know how to run it when you get there because it's set up just like, pretty much like Facebook. But it's Facebook on steroids.
269, your mic is on.
Well, how are you, Tracy?
I'm well. How are you? Hi, Michigan.
Well, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I don't know. I thought we bet some money Zimmerman. I told you Zimmerman was going to get off.
I told you
that. Oh, you was. You
I'm
sure
on.
About
the,
that,
I, yeah, I'm sure. Jeff was the one that said that was.
Oh, that's right. And Alex. Yeah, and Alex.
Alex, they were the ones. I told y'all that he was going to walk. They overcharged him, and they charged him wrong in the first place. He was sitting at home drinking tea and eating Skittles when they arrested him.
Yep. So anyway, yeah. Now, but the gentleman that's talking, now, you know, he hit those cold words that made me call in. One, the thing about the young brothers and seeing that lifestyle, I do think that's true. But now, you know, America has this dichotomy, which it believes in capitalism, you know, and Christian values at the same time, which I don't think those square up with each other.
Why?
When you say, well, that lifestyle is glamorized on TV, well, that's marketing. That's a part of capitalism. I mean, are you saying that's wrong? You know, shiny cars, big rims, the finest lady. That's part of what capitalism is about. Is it right or wrong?
Well, if that question, first of all, thank you for calling in and thank you for asking.
Let me go ahead and finish, and then you can finish. So that was the one point. That is correct. I mean, you know, everybody's after that. So I don't know how you're going to square that up. And the second thing about where do we get this notion that hard work, honesty, and integrity and truth, those are Christian principles. Where do we get that from? That didn't come. These things didn't come on the scene when the Bible came on the scene, but you continually hear people, this country was built on Christian principles, hard work. Where does that come from? And the other thing, this country was not built on hard work. It was built on free work that never been paid for. Now you can go ahead and talk.
Okay, well, first thing I'll preface my statement is saying that I am not a school pastor in theology. I'm strictly a layperson that read my book. But when we refer, and I say we in the Tea Party world, to America is built on Christian values or Christian principles because our Bible teaches us, and I'm not saying the Torah doesn't teach, and I'm not saying the Quran doesn't teach. I'm just saying because many of our forefathers were, in fact, professed Christians, and we know this from their writings and their diaries and their archives, and many quotes by John Adams and people like that. But the Christian faith does teach, be honest, earn your living through honest means and integrity and do so by adhering to the Ten Commandments. Don't lie, cheat, steal. You know, get out, work hard, be a good person, be charitable. Just be a decent person, okay? And what I referred to a little while ago, because that lifestyle of selling, you know, drugs on the street corner and things like that, that is not what traditional Christian or Jewish or whoever values teach. It's poisoning the community. It's bad. It kills people. It's not working. It's using criminal behavior for monetary gain, and that's what I was referring to.
Michigan, was that enough?
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't answer the question. I mean, I just hear it all the time, and I just don't, like you just said again, you know, be honest, be square dealing, be honest in your dealings. Everything that he's saying, the forefathers were just the opposite. I mean, so I don't get it.
Hold on,
Michigan. Ken, let me throw this into the mix because I know where Michigan's going with this. So let me just make it plain: when you use slave labor to build a nation, and that's pretty much what he's saying.
Sure.
And then you say you're built on Christian principles and being fair and just and hard work. Yet, when at one time people of color worked so hard but never got paid and never got anything from it. And then you tell them to do it again and it'll pay off. And you've got people still working very, very hard today and they're still not getting anywhere. How do we continue to say hard work pays off?
But what about the people of color in, say, Massachusetts, Connecticut?
What about them?
They weren't slaves. They were free people.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
No,
yes,
that was
it is.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
No, you had slaves throughout the whole country. It didn't stop. It wasn't just the South.
I'm telling you right now.
Listen.
There were free blacks all over the northern part of the United States, and they were very well off, many of them.
And a good majority of them, they still were not.
Yep.
They were still in servitude, and they
right,
were still
slaves.
Right,
that wasn't the masses, right?
That
wasn't the norm. They're right. Well,
no.
He is correct, but that wasn't the norm.
But that was, they didn't, I mean, you had, just because you had one free black
right,
person
running
right, around
right.
doesn't mean
yeah.
you had anything.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, let me throw this out there. Slavery, and I'll just say Michigan because I don't know your name.
That's what we call
it. Okay. Even in biblical times, the entire Jewish race was enslaved to the state of Egypt. And that's who built the pyramids and the Sphinx and all that was Jewish slave labor. There are scriptural references in the Bible that instructed, in fact, King Solomon and many of Moses' edicts that came down from the mountain in the 200 or 436 laws, I believe it was, even told masters how they were instructed to tend to their slaves. So being a slave goes all the way back. I mean, we're talking 5,000 plus years here, okay? But it was through Abraham Lincoln's wisdom and the feeling that he got when he claims God touched his heart that said, no more. Enough is enough. We're done. And that's when he went to work to get this to get it pushed through to abolish slavery. And it's taken a while in the South for the South to finally get the program, and they did. By the late 70s, they finally got over it, so to speak. I remember, I'm 55 years old, and guys, I want to tell you, I wrote a book once several years ago, and in the book I told a story about how my grandfather took me to the McLennan County Courthouse when I was 7 years old, and this would have been 1964-ish approximately. I remember going to the courthouse and saying, Grandpa, I need to go to the bathroom. And I started to walk into the bathroom, and he says, no, no, little man. And he grabbed me by the arm and he said, your bathroom's right there. And I said, well, what's that one? And it said Negro only on the door. And that's what it said. And there was a Negro only water fountain. And we're talking 1964 in Central Texas. And this is the way I was raised until finally all that went away when I was probably 12, 13 years old. But that's how late that was in effect, even in Central Texas.
And see the problem is, you said you're how old, 65?
No,
55.
I'm 55.
You're 55
yeah.
years old. We have to realize,
yeah.
at 55 years old, if you go back 10, 40 years, that's not a long time.
No.
And there are people that, and the problem is, we have not overcome this conversation, and nor have we been honest, and nor have we educated both black and white people on the history of America. And the history of race in America. So, yeah, there were free blacks, but the free blacks had no power to be free.
Well, you're right.
So what was free? Even if you lived in Massachusetts, you might have been wealthy. Yeah, you failed your. You might have been able to eat and feed your family, but you weren't free because you were still there.
I got to look it up. Was a free black man in Massachusetts allowed to vote if he owned property?
Yes, but he wasn't free.
But basically,
what's free?
You can't walk down the street,
right?
And be free. Wait a minute.
Had integrated. Wait a minute. In Massachusetts at the time of the Revolution, they had integrated churches.
Six. We went to church together, but they weren't free.
I fail to understand. If you can walk down the street,
I know, and I'll tell you after we get off the air.
Okay.
You're not free. Just because I don't have chains on my arms, if I still cannot conduct business, if I still cannot go in and out of a bathroom, if I still cannot – remember, if you look at something called – Michigan, the people that rode the bus down south, what were they called?
What do you mean, what people?
the people that rode the bus down south. Remember them? The
Freedom
oh God, the Freedom Riders.
Tracy.
Oh God.
When you can't ride a bus going down south and go to the bathroom, you're not free. If you're stuck to a certain community, we were free in our community. You just couldn't go downtown.
Yeah. And even
so
at
was
that
free?
Time, Tracy, and even at that time, one man's freedom rider was another man's troublemaking agitator.
Right. You weren't free. I mean, you were free because you were free in your own neighborhood to have your own church. But you wasn't free to go downtown and buy a soda pop.
But Tracy, let me ask you, and I'm gonna ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna ask an African American this question because let me ask you: it wasn't the laws that caused that? It was the heart of man that caused that. For instance, the laws down south and in Texas said. Now, I've forgotten the gentleman's name, but the little town that he was from, the gentleman that unfortunately the white punks got a hold of him and drugged him by him to pick up and killed him several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I can't for the life of me remember his name, but you remember the story.
Mm-hmm.
But that little town, I can remember going through that little town in the late 70s, and there was still a sign at the edge of town. And it had the N-word, and it said, "Don't let the sun set on you." And that sign was on the edge of that town. Now, it wasn't a state sign. It wasn't a city sign. It wasn't the law. It was men had put that sign there. So I don't think it's the laws, and I think your friend there is correct. It wasn't the laws in Massachusetts, but you're correct as well because it was the hearts of man that caused there to actually be a lack of freedom. It wasn't the law per se, as it was the hearts of man. That's what I'm trying to say.
I can't speak to Massachusetts, but the black codes that were written into the laws of a lot of the states, even in the states of Ohio, we just started striking down some of the black codes that were written. They may not have been enforced, but they were written. Even with, if you look even at the deeds of property, that you could not transfer a deed to a Negro.
Yeah, Tracy, and when you're talking about law, you're talking about something that is man-made. So you can never separate the law from man because he makes them and he has the responsibility to enforce them. Or he cannot enforce them, which you see a lot of that. Certain laws he does not enforce when it comes to whites. The studies have shown it. And I wanted to ask you, the gentleman, a question. When he said the hearts of men, there was a study that was cited a couple of days ago about the stand your ground states, and they did the research and showed that 365% of the time, a black was denied the use of that by the prosecutor or by the judges or whoever. Now, these individuals who denied those blacks, they never got together and had a convention and said, hey, they don't meet once a year, right? But it was a pattern, it is a pattern in all of the states where the stand your ground law exists. So now, that's the part that it's hard for whites to try to explain, because here you got all of these different states, non-contiguous, they're not meeting to say this is what we're going to do, but when you do the research, they're all doing it. So what is that about the hearts and minds of whites altogether?
I would say it's a problem. that they're not applying the law equally. You know, it's like I was sitting here thinking a second ago when you were asking your question. Am I, as a Tea Party guy, I have a real problem with calling you African American. You're not from Africa. You're an American. I have a problem with calling Polish Americans Polish Americans. They're Americans. And until we get past this labeling of people, it's always going to be an issue. I'm regarded as a white Caucasian American. Why am I not just an American? Why can't we just all be Americans, and to borrow a Rodney King acronym? Why can't we just get along and call ourselves Americans?
They can't make money that way.
Right. Why do we have to label?
They can't make, again, they can't make money that way. Going back to, you know, just like I said, my first question to you, I asked you, how in the world did we allow the media to coin the Tea Party as a racist group? I have spoken at Tea Party rallies. I have got some friends. The Tea Party is very, very active here, and I appreciate their what they've done. But they allowed, because they were not prepared for what was coming, that as soon as they got out there, they were labeled a racist party. A racist party that was coming after President Barack Obama because he was black.
But Tracy, right. How do you stop somebody from lying on you?
You didn't. No. It's not about what it was. They weren't ready for
you
it.
You tell a lie enough, somebody's going to believe it.
Again, not only is somebody going to believe, they allowed the majority.
They didn't allow it.
They did allow it.
How did they allow
because
it?
Because they allowed them to, and they did not refute it.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
When you don't have a national large organization, how can you refute the power of NBC?
Listen, they allowed it. They allowed the spin to be put on it, and they were not prepared for it because they were a loose-knit organization. Ken, am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You have to have organization to be able to refute that on TV programs like The View and stuff like that.
They allowed
it. It is in the process of happening right now. We started it. I mean, I'm going to take credit for this. Tim Saletti and myself, we started this, knocking those barriers down by co-sponsoring this big event on Monday in Washington, D.C. with the Black American Leadership Alliance. And I am tickled pink, and believe me, we have faded heat. We have faded heat for doing that because the organization that's behind them is actually a progressive organization, and my stand was this. I don't care who it is. It can be Goofy. It can be Walt Disney. I don't care who it is. This is a bad bill, and we as Americans have to stand together. I do not care what their policies are regarding food stamps or whatever. We're talking about a bad immigration bill here, and that's where we're going to stand together, hold hands, lock arms, sing Kumbaya and tell them they better trash this bill and get rid of it now. And we mean what we say, because we're coming after you in the midterms if you don't. And we are, and we will, get rid of a lot of whoever supports this really bad bill. But you guys are absolutely right. And I see progress being made, believe it or not. I really do. We're having this conversation today. 25, 35 years ago, this conversation wouldn't have been happening. And it is today, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing when people like Michigan can stand up, call in, and address these types of really touchy subjects. And it's a good thing when I can sit and listen, and you guys can narrate it and talk about it, and we can talk, and there's no screaming. There's no yelling. There's no name.
Oh, you haven't been around here very long.
You got to come back earlier.
Well, we're all on the same page here, is what I'm saying. We're all on the same page. I'm on the same page with Michigan. I understand how I can't say, because I'm not African American and I don't live in Michigan, but I've got a real good idea how he feels and what he's thinking. And you guys know where we're coming from, and that's a good thing. And I think it is. I think walls are being knocked down, guys. It's slow. It's hard. You know, Rome wasn't built overnight, but it's coming,
changing.
And it's transpiring.
It's coming.
And it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's good, and it needs to happen. And you know, if nothing else, hopefully this whole situation will cause people to think, because I have a problem with the manufacturing of stuff for liberal gain.
There's and a fellow that you need to get on your show and interview him if you haven't yet. He's an African American, and his name's K. Carl Smith.
He's been on. I've had him on a couple times. Yes.
He is fascinating, and I love his message. And he had that crowd on their feet on Monday screaming because he's 100% right. And his message is beginning to resonate, and more people are hearing it, and they're going, you know what, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think that the Democrat Party may have a serious problem in 4, 6, 8 years from now. I think they're going to lose a lot of their constituency that they thought they had that aren't going to be there anymore. And I fervently believe that because of gentlemen like Kay Carl and C.L. Bryant, people like that. And they're doing a fantastic job in the African-American community explaining what true conservatism is. And it's something that needs to be done. And they're out there now, Tracy. They're out there, and they're preaching, and they're talking, and they're traveling, and they're meeting, and they're interviewing, and the message is beginning to resonate. We're just at the beginning, but it's beginning to hit home.
Well, I pray so, because it needs to happen. It really, really does.
Well, you're
Karen,
doing
I'm gonna
a
thank
great
you.
Job on this show. I mean,
no, I love what
doing
I do.
Fabulous. And we're grateful. Believe me, we are. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, just want to say I'm almost at the end of my day, and I want to say thank you for coming on and ask you if you'll come back and hang out with us again. Thanks, Styx, for finding you and bringing you to the table. You're always welcome here. We're here from noon until 3, Monday through Friday. So you
thank
can always
you.
Call in,
it
time in.
It has been an honor, Tracy, and thank you, Michigan. Thank you for bringing those points to the table. I'm grateful that you did, sir.
Michigan, you got to come back and hang out with us again because we'll be doing this again, you know. You've been in Michigan acting. You get mad at me and you abandon me for a while. South Carolina, you have any comments that you want to throw in? I don't know if that's Mike or South Carolina. I can't see
Mike,
the number.
Tracy, I was just listening. And
hey, Mike.
I just in my heart just know that I just want to live by the 95-5 rule. Okay, we spent 5% of our energy identifying these problems, but we've got to start putting 95% into fixing them, to just keep talking about them over and over again. Another 100 years will go by, and your great-great-great-great-granddaughter will be doing the show, and we'll still be talking about it. It's time to just, okay, if everything is true, the past sucked, what do we need to do from this moment on to make sure the past doesn't repeat itself or ends and it stays in the past? And that's what I'd really like to hear the discussion move to, because it's about solutions. We've identified the problem. We have identified the inequities and the unfairness and the tragedies and the crimes. What's the solution? And that's where I've got to put my mind.
The solution has to be in conversation and open, honest, because if you don't, everything begins with open, honest dialogue. And
yeah.
As long as we allow people to define us, and when I say allow us to define them, you can call me what you want, but if I accept it. And the Republican Party is another issue, you know, when I say that, and I am a Republican. They allowed themselves to be labeled as a party of
rich white guys.
Right.
Yeah,
and when you do that, pardon me?
I'm sorry. This is a page right out of Saul Alinsky's book. You frame the question. You frame the talking points, and the other side is a master at doing that, and that's how
correct.
The Tea Party, because they wanted a balanced budget and obey the Constitution, became racist.
Correct. Well, but they allowed themselves, before they started framing what they wanted, framing the picture, what they started doing is they started painting it first. And we walked right into the painting and laid down the red carpet for them to actually paint us in that light. And instead of us standing up and say, this is not who we are, this is what we're about. The same thing I said at the beginning of our show, and I might as well end here. The dialogue of what is going on with Trayvon Martin and with George Zimmerman, the issue is not whether we agree or disagree, honestly, with the verdict. It's the sensitivity that we have for the passion that people have based upon a young black man dying.
Right.
That's the issue. And right. if you do not understand the sensitivity of it, because when I see a young black man die, whether he be wrong or right, it still could be my child.
And you know, Tracy, there's where the prosecutor was the biggest culprit and jerk in this whole thing when he trivialized the events, when he held up a bag of Skittles and said, this man died because of a bag of Skittles. No, he died because he was walking on the street.
But no. But
that's
this,
why he died, because somebody took offense to where he was.
Again, this white prosecutor doesn't have any black friends. Because what he did was he played into the Skittles and to the media hype of the Skittles, the hoodie, and all that. This is the issue. We need to understand some things, and we'll probably get into this more on Friday.
Yeah.
We need for people to hear us and feel the compassion so that you understand why you can't use the N-word.
We also have to have a good enough relationship.
But we don't.
So I don't have to guard my words with you, but we know each other, so you look at me and say, you know, that was a really stupid thing to say.
But you've got to have
it can't hurt my feelings, and it can't hurt your feelings.
But you got to have people. You got to walk outside your comfort zone and be vulnerable to have a friend that you don't understand their culture. And what the left media does not want us to do is have open, honest conversation and dialogue about this. And listen, at the end of the day, God bless you guys. We'll see you on tomorrow. Tomorrow we are going to hopefully have a guest by the name of William J. Dobson. He wrote the book called The Dictator's Learning Curve, Inside the Global Battle for Democracy. On Friday, we will be back probably talking about open mic, so we'll bring up whatever is happening in the society, but they're going to be marching in the streets. We'll probably be talking about that. Ken, I want to thank you for coming on. I will be in touch with you if I can do anything for you. Please do not hesitate to call me or Six. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on Monday. God bless and have a good afternoon.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends.